I'm Ellen Prins. I'm the chairperson of the Select Committee of Telecommunications and Public Enterprises. And I'm going to give over to the honourable members.
Your chair, and good morning. My name is Olifile Sefako. I'm from Northwest. Thank you.
Morning, my name is Jomo Nyambi. I'm from Mpumalanga Province.
Olwe, mawethu, honourable members. Taba ekhonjwa phakisi, Nkosi.
Good morning, everyone. Jacques Julius, permanent delegate from Gauteng.
Thank you. Can I give over to all the sectors present? You can introduce yourself. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Tsholofelo Molefe. I'm from Telkom. I'm the chief risk officer of the company.
Morning, Chair and members. My name is Siyabonga Mahlangu. I'm from Telkom.
Morning, Chair. Hasna Imadlika from Telkom.
Good morning, Chair. It's Lucas Ndala from Telkom.
Lisa Zwabi from Telkom.
Good morning, it's Andrew Dawson from Telkom.
Good morning, I'm Pindile Jani. I'm from the Mother Network, that's Telkom.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members, Carmelita Dudley, Telkom.
Morning, Chair and Members. My name is Cynthia Lesofi from Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services. My name is Cynthia Sufi from Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services.
Good morning. My name is Adelaide Masamala from Department of Telecommunications.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Mametle Masamola. I'm from the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Honourable Chair, good morning. My name is Pinky Kikana, the Deputy Minister of Communications.
Morning, Honourable Chair and Members. My name is Thabiso Titi, the Acting DG of DOC.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Dick Sono from the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Chair and Members, my name is Botlenyana Mokhele, Councillor ICASA.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, my name is Wellington Mwepe from ICASA.
Good morning, Chair and Members, my name is Andrew Bardenser from Vodacom.
Good morning, Chair, my name is Byron Kennedy, also from Vodacom.
Good morning, Chair and Members, my name is Linda Martinez from Vodacom Group.
Morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Denzel Bowman from Liquid Telecom.
Morning, Chair and Members, my name is Johnny Dos Santos from Vodacom.
Morning, Chair and Members, my name is Zubair Osman, also from Vodacom.
I'm Edwina Malloy from DOC.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Freddy Mamorema from DOC.
Morning, Chair and Members. I'm Pindile Hlela from ICASA.
Morning, Chair and Members. My name is Lou Murray from Vodacom.
Honourable Members, Harish from South Sea.
Thank you.
Chair and members, Graham McKinnon from CELSI.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Loli Sibis. I'm the committee secretary. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. My name is Eric Poskati. I'm the corner advisor for the committee.
Thank you very much. Let me welcome the Deputy Minister of Communications. And congratulations with your appointment, Deputy Minister. It's the first time that I see you. I didn't know that you are the new Deputy Minister, but welcome to this meeting. Welcome to this meeting, Deputy Minister. We are glad to have you here. We received some apologies. One apology from the Minister of Telecommunications and Communications, and apology from Honourable Labas Kahni and Honourable Smith
and Honourable
Nita. Thank you. With I like to say two words, but I'm going to allow, seeing that the Deputy Minister of Communications is here, you first to say some remarks if you want to say something to us. Thank you. And that will be your maiden speech in the Select Committee. Thank you. Over to you, Deputy Minister. You're welcome to say something.
No, Chair, thank you very much.
Some remarks, something that you want to say. You know what the agenda is for today? It's about the costing of data.
Yes.
We had a meeting last year to talk about this issue, and we want now the stakeholders to come and explain to us what they did, and also ICASA to come and wrap up and tell us what. Give us a report. I believe there was a report coming out last week. Present the report. What is the findings and the way forward? Thank you.
No, Chair. I'm with you in as far as the whole flow of events have been going. The reason why I'm here is that, of course, industry is going to be presenting, and ICASA and them, as the department will be listening and looking at the kind of support systems and how we should work together in ensuring that at the end we achieve all what we want to achieve. So my presence here is to give support, but also to listen to whether there are bottlenecks and other things. And I must also hasten to say the Minister of Communications is not well. In fact, she was going to come as it's her responsibility. But I thought I must be here to be part of this meeting. So it's more on an observer status, listening and making sure that we take some of the processes forward.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. And also to see whether there is a need for policies, reviews or new policies to develop. Give over to Telkom. I'm going to give you the opportunity to present to us.
Chairperson, Iso, Julius, Iso. Thank you, Chair. I just want to establish before we start, I didn't hear anyone from MTN present. I just want to know whether they received it, whether they are coming, or is there an apology. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. They are on their way. They are just here. They are at the interim. Thank you very much. Can we proceed? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just a small intervention, because we are going to listen to all of them in terms of their presentation. My humble suggestion is you limit time for presentation so that we have ample space and time to engage on such presentation.
Thank you. I think we must do that half an hour or 10 minutes. Presentation 10 minutes? 15. 10 minutes, okay. Let's do this. Let's try 10 minutes. If needed, it is 12 minutes, so we will allow, but not more than that. Ne? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members of the Select Committee on Communication and Public Enterprises. I think probably no need to introduce the team from Telkom. We've already done that, so I'll be doing the presentation. And I'll be supported by the head of regulation and his team, as well as the COO from OpenSafe, Lucas Ndala, and Hasnin from our telecom consumer business. Just to put into context the outline of our presentation, and it is really brief so that we can allow time for the discussion. We will contextualize the market, talk about the developments in the mobile space, developments in the fixed space, contribution to our CSI program, what are the challenges that we are seeing, and recommendations at the end. Just a brief overview about who is Telkom. We have been separated into 5 business units. We have our wholesale and network business, which is OpenSafe, our BCX business, which we acquired just over 2 years ago, which focuses on the enterprise market, including the ICT solutions as a service offering. Our telecom consumer, focusing on our retail market, and Trudon, which is traditionally known as the electronic yellow pages, and our Gyro properties, which was established 1st of April last year, consolidating all our property portfolio, including our mast and towers. I think just maybe if we just start about the access to the internet, I think from a telecom perspective, our mission is very clear. We want to seamlessly connect people to a better life, and we believe that by doing that, connecting every person, every home, every business, big and small, will actually contribute to the developmental objectives of the country and contribute to the economic development of SA. So when you look at the statistics, and we recognize that this was a survey that was done in 2015, it may have moved slightly, you still have quite a large number of people of the population in South Africa not having access to the internet, almost 51%. And those that do have it, of which 80% are broadband subscribers, actually access that through mobile technology. And it's clearly depicted on your right hand graph that shows your mobile penetration increasing from 2016 at 11%, a steady increase to 29% by 2021. We see that obviously the mobile data access is growing much faster than the fixed access, with the fixed access declining. Down to 61% by 2021. So 2016 it was at 79%, 2018 71%. So when we just put into context the mobile market share, you can clearly see that in total the two mobile operators that were the first entrants in the market, MTN and Vodacom, still dominating quite heavily. With Vodacom at 45.8%, MTN almost 33%, followed by Cell C, and then Telkom as the fourth entrant into the market. We've divided that into prepaid and postpaid mobile market share as well, with the two large mobile operators dominating heavily still, with Cell C and Telkom being 4%, being the third and fourth respectively. So as we said, that we are very committed as Telkom in terms of reducing the cost to communicate, and we have been doing some work in that regard. We will share with you later on some of our products offering in the market that we believe have helped significantly in reducing the cost to communicate.
We believe that in responding to the Zuma needs, the mobile data is the most convenient way to access the internet. We've seen some very good, we've introduced some very good innovative products, such as the Free Me, and we'll talk about that as well. These products are differentiated on customer value, pricing, as well as product proposition. And we believe that they've actually disrupted the market just in terms of the offering. And really these are data-led products where we're offering free voice, telecom to telecom in terms of voice calls, with very clear products from a data perspective. There are some challenges, however. As we said that as late entrants into the mobile market, we believe that the duopoly have entrenched themselves into this market, unfortunately for the late entrants into the market. There are still some higher barriers to entry in respect of the network rollout, but to remain competitive, Telkom needs to continue to enhance its customer value proposition, and that's what we've been doing through our product offering in the market. Some achievements that we've seen to date, as I said, we launched our Free Me product, which was launched in 2016 and has seen some significant impact on the mobile data. Cheapest out-of-bundle rate in the market at 29 cents per megabyte. We have also been rated overall second in the Orange Index for the telco industry. We also have now launched what we call the Home Unlimited, which is unlimited, uncapped data. So as we reduce the cost to communicate with our Free Me product, it is a data-centric plan that offers customers real value. It reduces the cost to communicate for customers, and it is the only mobile plan in South Africa that, as I said earlier, offers free calling between telecom customers. In addition, it offers free IM texting and call options by including portions of IM data. In addition to that, it offers 50 SMS messages per day, and on the higher tier plans, it also offers customers free lit product streaming, lit streaming data to be used for YouTube videos, for movies, and so forth. And it's become quite popular, particularly in the postpaid market, and we see that coming in strongly. Again, on the fixed as well, I talked about the Home Unlimited product, which is really unlimited and uncapped, with entry-level speed of 4 megabits per second, increasing from 2 megabits per second. Data caps, we believe, limit communication to communication and entertainment needs for customers. So uncapped data with high fair usage value is really meaningful for consumers. Voice inclusion of unlimited on-net calls to telecom, fixed and mobile networks with about 6 million numbers to call provides best call package value. 20% discount applies to top 30 international destinations. The offer also includes, from a mobility perspective, an amount of 1, 2, or 3 gigabits of mobile data for failover and on-the-go use with retail value between 99 and 199. So 1 gig at 99 rand and 3 gigs at 199. So we really believe that these are really making a difference from a customer perspective in terms of value proposition and competitive pricing as well. And I think maybe just to add, we have, through our multi-year cost transformation program over the years, was very deliberate in making sure that we extract efficiencies out of our business so that we could reduce cost and be able to obviously use price as a weapon and be able to reduce the cost to communicate. So on the mobile side, if we go into reducing the cost to communicate, we have seen a steady decline in the effective rate over the course of the last 3 years. If you look at your left-hand side graph, you'll see that there has been, over the 3 years, a 26% reduction in the effective rate, driven mainly by values such as free on network calling. On the data side, on your right, a sharp 50% decline over the 3 years, driven by down by increased bundles and double data promotions. If you go into the next slide, you will see very clearly that on the wholesale side, at the wholesale, at OpenServe particularly, the price have also reduced quite significantly within the IP Connect, 15% in 2015 and down to 25% reduction in 2017, with 2016 seeing quite a sharp reduction. This has really reduced the input cost at the retail level, enabling ISPs to reduce price for consumers. And maybe moving on to just our CSR initiatives, which we believe are also very important and as our contribution to the country's development objectives. Through our Telkom Foundation, our main focus has been on education. We've allocated 85 billion rand, with 9,770 learners benefiting from supplementary teaching and just over 4,000 teachers trained in the ICT space in the past 3 years. We also have a Future Makers program, which is our enterprise and supply development program, where we've invested 234 million into the Future Makers Fund. We've trained 40 black-owned businesses and enabled them to create their own businesses through our IFT program, and with employing over 360 technicians. We've also created jobs through this Future Makers Fund, with 1,000, just over 1,000 beneficiaries benefiting since May in 2015. We recognize that there are some barriers to entry to lowering the cost to communicate. The lack of access to sub-1 gig, particularly for small operators. This continues to impact Telkom's ability to offer indoor coverage. The risk that spectrum may be auctioned, as we believe that this would entrench the current duopoly in the markets with deep pockets. It would be expensive for the smaller players and therefore prohibit them from being able to participate meaningfully. It will also make it impossible to challenge the duopoly, enabling the market forces to drive down prices and improve the quality of service, which is very important. We believe that CopperServe is still a real challenge and obviously impacting on a number of industries, and government support would be really appreciated in terms of criminalizing this space, the transgressors in this space, because it does pose a challenge in terms of we see quite incidents increasing in this space and obviously having a significant negative impact on our infrastructure. Just some recommendations to the honorable members of the CILEC committee. Telkom believes that there are some things that can be done to overall reduce the cost to communicate. We believe that if government could consider subsidies of broadband for poor communities in the country, we've seen that statistics have shown that in Morocco and Egypt there are examples where broadband is subsidized and cost therefore lowered to ensure users get greater uptake of broadband services and a reduction on the digital divide. If the data cost could be exempt from VAT, that would also be useful. As I indicated earlier, criminalizing the copper theft through the justice, crime prevention and security cluster would also assist in this space. Providing access to sub-1 gig to smaller operators, this would achieve a prolific coverage at lower prices by decoupling the need for expensive roaming agreements. Also establishing the wireless open access network as soon as possible We believe that this would increase retail competition by enabling the financial sustainability of the smaller players and new entrants. Through this increased competition, where all small players are able to challenge the duopoly, the cost to communicate would become lowered significantly. Thank you. That's the end of our presentation, and we'll take questions from here, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much for your presentation. We take note of your recommendations. On my list, that one of it for the poor excuse, is on our list of discussion in my area when we had that tax discussions. So I like that one. Thank you. Can we immediately go over? Members, where can we proceed, or do you want to ask questions? You want to ask a question now?
Chairperson, no. Just my proposal is that, you know what, it will be very different. We have different. The presentations will be different because you have one that supports ON, Telkom supports ON, for instance, this one supports this. Telkom makes certain recommendations to this committee. So it will be difficult at the end to ask clarity-seeking questions. It will be very difficult. So if we deal with Telkom, we're done with Telkom, then we can go to the other one so that we can get clarity. Yes, yes, I agree with it. Yeah. Yeah.
I respect the honourable member's view, but it's just going to be proper and assisting to us. I understand his difficulty, but then to have all the presentations made and then have a holistic and productive discussions at the end of every presentation, it will help us. Because I believe everybody who is a member of this committee is in position of the presentations. I bear with him.
Yeah, I think we can make it easy, Honourable Member Julius, if you agree, that we are dealing, when it's question time, we first deal with the first presentation. Then you don't need to be all over. If you want to ask a question on, I'm going to ask, whether you want to ask a question to Telkom, it will help. Will it help?
Way. Yes, Chairperson.
Okay, sure. Thank you. I'd like to welcome MTN, I believe, and also Honourable Singh, welcome to you. Can we proceed with our presentations? Chelsea is next. Thank you. Thank you very much. They're not ready yet. While we're sorting them out, can we get Worldcom, please?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members of the Select Committee, again for the opportunity for Vodacom to speak to reducing the cost to communicate in South Africa. Our delegation is led by our Chief Officer Corporate Affairs, so I just want to hand over to Ms. Takalani Netsentenzi, just to start the presentation in the time that you've allocated to us. I just want to hit the first slide. So we are going to respond to the four questions that was posed by the committee and just very briefly respond to each of the four points in the time allocated. So if I can just hand over to Taki.
Good morning, honorable members. Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to come engage with yourselves. The slide that we have put there is a constant reminder to us as the company that we do not exist in a vacuum. We exist in a society with high levels of inequality. In fact, this morning we were just reading a report that came out of the Monitoring and Evaluation Ministry that talks about the high levels of inequality in the country. So we have a dedicated team of people who focus on monitoring global and national trends, especially policy developments and implementation. We fully subscribe to the National Development Plan and the Sustainable Development Goals. And we follow government priorities as they evolve, and we ask ourselves a pertinent question. What can we do with ICTs in order to assist in uplifting the lives of people whose socioeconomic circumstances require attention? In fact, we have been monitoring the president's speech from the SONA, going through it, and we have identified 12 priorities. And from there, as Vodacom, we are looking at how through ICTs we can assist government to achieve those priorities. The second block deals with a matter which this committee might be aware of. The ICT sector is currently under policy review through the integrated ICT white paper, which is driven by the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. The objective of the white paper is to transform the entire ICT sector with a view to bringing the cost to communicate down, to bring new players and small players, small businesses into the sector, and to ensure that there is adequate rural coverage. Now, the policy was received with mixed reactions. There are some who hold the view that the policy is anti-competitive, is going to lead to anti-competitiveness, it's unconstitutional and will raise data prices. But our fears have been allayed by what the president has mentioned during the SONA address, that spectrum issue will be put on the table. Government is going to be fast-track the consultations between government and industry in order to look at the allocation of spectrum with a view to ensuring that the cost to communicate are brought down. So this subject actually comes at the right time where we can then engage within the context of what the president and his cabinet are talking about. Thank you.
So to proceed on the issue of cost to communicate more particularly, we thought that we would list the four initiatives that we are committed to reduce the cost to communicate. But we thought that we would present it in the form of a journey. So on the first area of handset pricing, as Vodacom roll out its 3G network and as it rolls out its 4G network, there is a real effort to get affordable handsets in the hands of new users and new consumers. And so members can get a sense of how affordable it has now become for consumers to get access to smartphones and what the reduction looks like over the past 3 years. The next step of the journey is once the new users are accessing the internet, how do we ensure that there's transparent access to the usage? And so it's really about how do we do more in notifying consumers of what the remaining data balance is? How do we inform consumers of offers that can be personalized for them? And how do we make sure that just before they go out of bundle, there is a choice, there is an option to stay in bundle? And the third step of the journey is really the effort that we put into taking various sizes of data with different periods of validity and really mix and matching that so that those, depending on how much money they have in their pocket, are able to access and have a wider variety of choice that they would ordinarily not have. And so it's really the effort to bundle data and with periods in which it is valid in a way that it meets the demands of most of our consumers. And then the last one there is where we've really made a very big decision to simply reduce the out-of-bundle rate. And it's something that we are monitoring very carefully with the view of bringing about further reductions in the out-of-bundle rate. So the idea of the slide was really just to list four of the initiatives that we hope will give members a sense of the interventions and the commitments to lower the cost to communicate. And I just think on the next slide, we are starting to see that the interventions are starting to yield fruit. In fact, we've been humbled by the response from the consumers. We see that there is actually an increase in the sale of data bundles. We see that year on year, the effective rate is declining. We are finding out that more and more customers are purchasing bundles, sometimes just that it's valid for a day, sometimes that it's valid for an hour, sometimes that it's valid for a week. And overall, we are starting to see a healthy increase in the traffic of our network. So it suggests to us that those four initiatives and other initiatives that we are doing is really starting to reduce the overall cost to communicate. I'm just going to hand over to my colleague to respond to one of the four issues that was raised in the request to Vodacom as well.
Thank you, Chair, members. Driving SMME growth in the ICT sector is probably one of the most important things we need to actually do as a industry. In the last 25 years, we have seen SMME growth increase up to 2005 and then subsequently drop to 2014-15 with an increase again happening now. And that increase is basically thanks to the BE codes and the various legislative tools that government has actually put in place. Our commitment to SMME growth factors on three key pillars. One is ensuring SMME's survival, Okay, this has been done through development in terms of skills training. And the second and probably the most fundamentally important factor is making sure that SMMEs have the financial soundness to develop products so that they can actually service customers. The second key element is ensuring that whilst we are developing and building up SMMEs in the sector, that we are also cognizant of ensuring that we actually bring down cost of doing business for those SMMEs. And in this instance, we have various products that actually speak to it. And then the third and most and probably an important aspect is changing the supply chain management profile from your large previously multinational white-led businesses to including more SMMEs, black-owned businesses, and especially black female-owned businesses in the ICT sector. In terms of our reach, I decided to only bring four key areas to the house. The first is the financial growth. Second is what we are doing with regards retail ownership and changing the historical profile of our retail channel. Third is the development and support of SMMEs. And fourth, which has probably been on the topic over the last couple of years, is how do SMMEs access business? What you can see on this map is that there are various arrows that actually speak to each member's province, especially all the members in the MS, in terms of where we are heading to. What keeps a SMME afloat is financing, is finances. We know that there's a 30-day payment preferential term program. Vodacom had a look at it. The ICT codes asked for 15 days. Today, we actually sit in this house informing members that we pay almost close to 500 million rand, half a billion rand, in same day of invoice to black-owned SMMEs. The ask on us was to actually give regional breakdowns on it, and Mpumalanga, I am sorry if the member of Mpumalanga is here, but unfortunately we don't have that many SMMEs in the ICT sector, although we do hope with our trade site where SMEs can then access into Vodacom business, that we are then able to actually reach more SMEs. In terms of this, we have a total of over 43,000 SMEs in the under 10 million range registered in far as accessible to the business. About almost 10,000 in the greater 10 million to 50 million turnover range, and then 7,000 in the higher. Over the next three years, you will see the racial profile of Vodacom's retail channels changing. Already we have transformed 24 of our stores that are now 100% black owned.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Just to wrap up on the last question, which is on corporate social investment. In 2016, Vodacom launched the digitalization strategy in response to the fourth industrial revolution. There are two pillars that are relevant to removing the cost barrier. One is the segment approach, and the second one is ensuring that Vodacom is a brand with a purpose. Why we looked at the segment approach is to ensure that we tailor-make the products and services according to the spending patterns and the needs of our customers. And we launched a platform called Siaka, which is a suite of zero-rated services, meaning that the Vodacom customers can access certain services and certain sites without having to pay for the data. And we look at what we call from cradle up to searching for employment. So we started with a product called Mom and Baby, which is a maternal health program, which is targeted at pregnant women and the caregivers, looking at the milestones of the baby from before the baby is born up to the age of 5. And then from there, we've got the Vodacom eSchool, which we run in partnership with the Department of Basic Education, which provides curriculum from grade R to grade 12. And then we also have zero-rated university portals. So far, we have zero-rated portals in 19 universities so that the young people that are at universities are able to access the curriculum content without having to pay for the data. And we also have another zero-rated portal where people that are looking for jobs, mainly the youth, can be able to upload their CVs and search for employment. From a CSI perspective, as I mentioned, we are guided by the Sustainable Development Goals. I will skip this slide because of time and just go to the foundation. In fact, I have just come now out of a panel discussion which is discussing good corporate citizenship and what it means to drive CSI projects. As I mentioned, everything that we do in Vodacom is aligned with the Sustainable Development Goals. We conducted a high-level assessment of Vodacom's footprint from an ICT perspective on each one of the 17 goals, and we came to the conclusion that we cannot be on each one of the goals. However, these goals are interrelated. And now we have streamlined our activities according to the three pillars that you see on the board, which is ICT in education. Vodacom has so far connected 3,000 schools across the country. We've got a list of where these schools are in each province and in each district. We also have 92 teacher centers, and in 10 of the teacher centers, we have Vodacom ICT Youth Academies, where we provide ICT training in partnership with Microsoft and Cisco to matriculants who performed well, but who have no prospects of going to tertiary institution. In the eSchool, so far since we launched the eSchool, it has 390,000 registered users with 17,000 active users. And we also provide a bursary, which is at 12 million rand on an annual basis to best performing matriculants, focusing mainly on the STEM subjects. We also provide ICT in gender empowerment. And here our main focus is youth empowerment. In fact, yesterday we just came back from government's launch of the Youth Employment Service. Vodacom works very closely with the young people, starting with the youth academy that I've mentioned. One thing that we have realized about the youth that we produce from the Vodacom Youth Academy is that not most all of them want to be employees. There are those that want to be entrepreneurs, but they do not have the necessary support and the resources. So Vodacom has a company which operates at arm's length called the Innovator Trust, where we have invested 750 million rand specifically for SMME development. And we are now partnering the Vodacom Youth Academy with the Innovator Trust in order to ensure that the young people who want to be entrepreneurs can be given development in order to start their own businesses. We also are focusing on young people who have tertiary education on ICTs, but who are struggling to get jobs. We call this a Change the World project, which is a volunteering project, where we link the young people who've got passion on ICTs with NPOs of their choice so that they can be able to give back to their communities using ICTs. So I will stop here so that we can then move to the next one.
Thank you very much. It concludes our part, and just again, thank you for the opportunity to do so.
Very much. Can we move to
Thank you, Chair and Members. I think that just as a start, we have got a slide presentation, but I'm going to say things that are not on the slides, and I'd really appreciate it if we are serious about trying to resolve the issue that's at stake here, that you know, we actually look to the underlying causes and then try and find solutions. I'd just like to, before I start, read a short section from a book. The author is Yuval Noah Harari, and the book is called Homo Deus. I can give the members the actual reference, but it's just to contextualize why data is so important. So I'll just read it briefly. It says, a recent study commissioned by Google's nemesis, Facebook, has indicated that already today the Facebook algorithm is a better judge of human personalities and dispositions than even people's friends, parents, and spouses. The study was conducted on 86,220 volunteers who have a Facebook account and who completed a 100-item personality questionnaire. The Facebook algorithm predicted the volunteers' answers based on monitoring their Facebook likes, i.e. which web pages, images, and clips they tagged with the like button. The more likes, the more accurate the prediction. The algorithm's predictions were compared with those of work colleagues, friends, family members, and spouses. In other words, this algorithm, they checked it to see what your friends, your family member, or your spouse might say about you. Okay? Amazingly, the algorithm needed a set of only 10 likes in order to outperform the predictions of work colleagues. So Facebook can tell things better about you than your work colleagues with just 10 likes, okay? It needed 70 likes to outperform friends, close friends, 150 likes to outperform family members, and 300 likes to outperform spouses. So Facebook basically might know you better than your spouse with 300 likes. In other words, if you happen to have clicked 300 likes on your Facebook account, the Facebook algorithm can predict your opinions and desires better than your husband or wife. Indeed, in some fields, the Facebook algorithm did better than the person themselves. Participants were asked to evaluate things such as their level of substance abuse or the size of their social networks. Their judgments were less accurate than those of the algorithm. Now, why do I say this? Because, as we all know, data and access to these things are becoming more and more and more important. Now, this is a dangerous side, but the reality is that if we exclude South Africans from being able to access this, we are going to fall behind as a country. So, sorry, our slide presentation is really not coming up too well there, but what I wanted to address is, what are the issues? We all accept that the cost to communicate is still far too high in South Africa. Another issue is lack of universal access. Okay. So what's the problem? What is causing this? In Celsi's view, the existing telecommunications market structures are not delivering optimal outcomes in terms of prices, coverage, availability, and quality of service. Okay. Because a very small number of vertically integrated operators dominate network infrastructure. The only thing that is going to drive prices down, and it is proven across the world, is competition. Telkom touched on it in their presentation, and we absolutely endorse that proposition. I'd like to just highlight the current market structure in South Africa to give you an example. It is still, as Telkom also alluded to, dominated by Vodacom and MTN. In terms of revenue market share, which is basically service revenue market share, which is the most important measure, let's just be clear, Vodacom are super dominant in this market. They have more than 50% of the market. MTN, more than 30. Cell C, around about 12. And Telkom, around about 4%. So you've got a market with two big dominant incumbent operators, and then the trailing third and fourth. Now, challenger operators can effectively compete on service and price. And typically, that's why prices come down. When you have strong challengers, they're the ones that bring prices down. Just to get technical, the measure for a concentrated market is this famous thing called the HHI index. Anything over a 2,500 measure is seen as a highly concentrated market. And this is a problem across South Africa. I think it's been recognized that not just in telecommunications, but we have highly concentrated markets across the spectrum of our business. And we need to address that. And telecoms is a specific challenge. Okay. Another issue that I will address as to the cause of the high prices is duplication of infrastructure. I'll address that under the YON discussion that I'm going to have. Just a very quick slide here, just to give you an indication of the level. I mean, if you just look at, for example, Vodacom's margins, we try to do a like-for-like comparison. Everybody has slightly different financial years, but this is as close as we got. But an EBITDA margin of 41%. I mean, that's incredibly high. MTN 32%. Cell C, we're not even at 20%. And then if you look at the dividends paid, I mean, Vodacom's dividend is way more than our CapEx spend. And that's just because they have been given certain advantages. And to be honest, there's no incentive for the dominant operators to bring prices down. They haven't done it so far. So you have to ask yourself, what will make them do that? In our view, I've got a brief slide, I'll just touch on it, the role of the regulator. ICASA has a super important role in our industry. And we believe that, an imperative from their side is the promotion of competition to promote the interests of consumer. I won't bore you with the details, but what we are saying is there are a number of tools that ICASA has to assist the challenger operators. And if you assist the challenger operators, you stimulate competition and you ultimately drive down prices. Some of them are the famous mobile termination rates. We have some slides on that, and I'll just literally mention it in one sentence. And the other one, for example, is the number portability regulations that they're looking at. Now, I just want to also anecdotally tell people that in 2012, voice prices were incredibly high. We're talking now where prices were, north of 2.50 a minute. Cell C introduced, at that stage it was very cheap, 99 cents a minute across all networks. Okay, the prices now are way cheaper, you get 66 cents a minute and even less. But what we expected was that we would get a rush of customers coming to Cell C. We were like a third and even less than our competitors. And the rush never came. And it was a very strange phenomenon. And what we said is, what is wrong with the South African consumer? Why are they not, when they are complaining about high prices, coming over to a network that is much cheaper? And we realized a couple of things. One of them was, we were saying 99 cents, but people didn't know what they were paying. They actually had no idea. So when we said 99 cents, they were like, well, is that cheap or expensive? I don't know. So transparency is a key issue. I think if I had to ask members in the House to be quite honest what they pay per meg per minute, most people don't know. Let's be honest. We actually have no idea. And I'm telling you, take this from my lips, it is a deliberate strategy of the network operators to do that. They don't want you to know what you're paying because then you're confused and you just keep paying, all right? We've tried to introduce that transparency. I think you could actually regulate for it, all right? And the other thing I wanted to raise was that moving networks is a hassle. Okay, it's actually, you've got your number, you're not quite sure. So porting needs to be made a lot easier because then people will go, you know what, I'm actually sick and tired of paying these ridiculous prices. I want to move, and it's easy to move across with your number. So I think that really needs to be facilitated. There's a study that was done by the University of Joburg. It was actually mentioned in Parliament before around the effect of competition in the market and how that has translated into a 47 billion saving for consumers. You're welcome. We have got the reference there. I won't bore you with those details, but we've got the reference there if anybody would like to see that study if they're not aware of it. Just to talk specifically about some of Cell C's offerings, we have got, for example, in our analysis, we're around 40% cheaper than the market on a per megabyte basis. Okay. Now, again, it is quite frustrating when you are much cheaper. And by the way, in case anyone's wondering, we do have a great network these days. We've invested in our network, and we do have a very good network. So that can't be the issue. But we're 40% cheaper generally across the board. And I think one of the other things I wanted to raise was, in some of the slides, you'll see this notion of an effective rate. Okay, don't be fooled by that effective rate. Because an effective rate is not necessarily the rate that you as a consumer will pay. What ends up happening is they blend things. So they get free, you get free minutes, and you get minutes at different times of the day or night, and then they say, well, those are cheap, so we'll throw those in. And then if you come up with an average. But the reality is that you as a consumer, that may not be the actual rate that you pay at the time when you want to or you can use data or use voice. So you've got to be a little bit careful when operators talk about effective rates. To be honest, it is a little bit of smoke and mirrors. What Cell C has introduced, and it's been a very effective product for us, is the WhatsApp bundle. For 15 Rand, you effectively can communicate for 600 megabytes, and it effectively translates into a 2.5 cents per megabyte value proposition. There are other initiatives. We have them on the slide. Sorry, carryover. We have longer validity of bundles, etc., etc. One of the things, for example, is internet.org, which is free Facebook. Now, we offer that, but I was looking at the Vodacom slides, for example, where they have this thing where some stuff's free in that. And I'm not sure, personally, that that's great. I don't necessarily think we should be prescribing to poor people what they can and can't see, and you know, what's free and what shouldn't be. I mean, everybody, just because you're poor, doesn't necessarily mean that you have different needs for accessing data. So I think some of these initiatives are noble in their intent, but I'm not sure they necessarily translate into what customers actually want. What we have is a slide on what we try to do here is just show actually what people, you know, if you're earning 920 Rand a month, you're getting a grant of 920 Rand a month, if you're spending 100 Rand a month, that's 10% of the money that you're getting in every month. So, you know, you have to practically look at what people actually, money they have and the cost. It's fine to say that prices are coming down, but if they're still high, you know, it's not really that good for consumers. So what we wanted to highlight there, for example, is that on our WhatsApp offering, you could effectively communicate for less than 2% of your of a 1,000 Rand, obviously, monthly income. Just a couple of points. Cell C is effectively the only operator that has got MVNOs on its network. MVNOs are a very good way of introducing service-based competition. We have over 18 MVNOs on our network. The names are all there. We welcome we'll give you more information if you'd like that, and we're always hoping to expand on that. And what MVNOs do is they focus on niche communities and really try and get to what customers want and try and deliver that to the customer. The last thing I'd just like to raise before my colleague Mr. Perry talks about our SME and schools connectivity program is this famous WOAN. Now, I wanted to just say that we have to, in order to change the market, come up with different solutions. I think the WOAN is a very good opportunity for this to happen. It is intended to open up service-based competition market. It can avoid infrastructure duplication. So let me give you an example. You go down the road. There's a Vodacom base station 20 metres away, an M10 base station, 50 metres away, a Cell C base station, etc. Those things cost a lot of money to build, right? It is a ridiculous concept to have all this infrastructure duplicated. There needs to be infrastructure sharing that needs to be regulated and enforced. It is a massive cost. If you could suck that cost out of the system, that cost could then actually be passed on to customers. So it's really something that we need to look at. I mean, if a water provider, for example, came and put a water pipe into your house, and then another water provider said, I want to put another one next to you, everybody would say that's ridiculous. But in telecoms, we seem to accept that that's normal. So what we're saying is we shouldn't just dismiss the WAN. It is a real solution that can be used to bring down prices if implemented properly. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. So, Chairperson, just to proceed, the slide that you have there to the point that Graham was making here is a demonstration that the proposal of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services in its policy, the Integrated ICT Policy White Paper, which proposes an intervention to provide a wholesale open access network, is very important. We think what Vodacom is saying here, it's quite difficult for us because this country has an experience of having wholesale open access providers locally. So we do not need necessarily a reference that tells us what has happened elsewhere in the world, because we have done it here, we have DFA, we have FiberCore, we have CECOM. All of these initiatives has enabled a way in which wholesale provision is able to bring prices down. And we think it is for this reason that Cell C supports this policy outline. We certainly think there is value in bringing wholesale competition so that you can promote service-based competition. Our slide earlier tells you that Cell C is basically a challenger network, and it has enabled mobile virtual open access network operators who largely focuses on consumers, and they don't have to build networks. So it is a very useful experience, Chairperson, that we have to draw on our own experiences. And as such, I proceed to our schools connectivity initiative. Cell C has universal service obligations imposed by ICASA. To date, we have connected 1,200 schools across all provinces. The numbers are there. In Mpumalanga, we have connected 189 schools, 121 in Western Cape, 260 schools, in Limpopo, Gauteng 53, in Free State 21, in KwaZulu-Natal 218 schools connected, in the Eastern Cape 176, in Northern Cape 76 schools, and in Northwest 86. Our solution, Chairperson, provides three laptops, it provides 25 tablets, it provides two printers, all of these in each school, a projector, a speaker, a router, an antenna, monitor, and a mouse or keypad. And very importantly, we also provide a 2 gig data monthly provision free to the schools for 2 years. And there is a depiction of how the solution works, so it is easy to package. On SMME, Chairperson, on SMME, Cell C, yes, on slide 15, but basically it was slide 14 where I was outlining all of the Cell C offering in terms of schools.
Okay, slide. We have laid the framework on time management. The presenters must be disciplined enough to respect 10 minutes. And I suspect sales have exceeded that 10 minutes long time ago. Remember, you are present to us. We must engage you, all of you. And we must have productive engagement. So if we will allow, Chairperson.
I'm actually concluding, Chairperson. Thank you very much. To emphasize the point in our last slide of conclusion, Honorable Chair, we are saying that increased competition is ultimately the important driver of costs to come down. Regulatory interventions to enhance the ability of challenger networks to compete is very important, and this includes the lowering of MTRs, the mobile termination rates for dominant operators, and the asymmetry for challenger networks, that is small operators like Cell C and Telkom Mobile. We are strongly emphasizing, Chairperson, that we have to find a way to support ICASA to make porting easier. ICASA has to set the rules. We think porting is a very important element of just making customers to move from network to network. We have to also enforce infrastructure sharing to remove barriers to entry. The EC amendment bill talks to this. The implementation of the open access network, the wireless open access network, we think it's a very important intervention to drive the market structure reform and to ensure that we have service-based competition. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Sandile Nzele. I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
25
minutes. No, 10 minutes. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of MTN South Africa, and I've got my colleagues here with me. Thanks for the opportunity to present to the committee. Chairperson, I thought we'll start off with the background of who we are. Should I proceed? I'll start off with the background of who we are, Chairperson. We are a subsidiary of MTN Group, which operates in 22 countries across Africa and the Middle East. And we've got about three other operations that concentrate on internet service provision. And the first place sort of gives you a bit of color in terms of some of the achievements of MTN South Africa. Chairperson, we do take economic transformation quite seriously within our organization. As you can see on slide number 3, our investment on the various sectors as far as the SMEs are concerned. We are a mostly empowered organization, as noted. We are currently level 4 BBBE, as per the new ICT code. We spent over the last 3 years 7.2 billion rand on 51% black-owned entities. We spent 12.7 billion rand with 30% black women-owned entities over the last 3 years. And we spent 3.3 billion rand with SMEs over the last 3 years. Our contributions to society and the state over the last 3 years, we've contributed 5 billion rand in direct taxes, contributed 4.6 billion rand in indirect taxes. We employ 4,500 people in our organization directly, and certainly with our distributors and our network providers, there's a lot more employment in that space. We have got 175 today in the organization graduates that we are employing. Our learnership development just this last year was 3.4 million rand. Overall, we spent 72 million rand on employee development, and that includes training and offering of bursaries to our employees. And as announced by the president yesterday, we'll be participating in the employment of youth, about 1,000 between in the 12 to 24 months. And we supply study assistance to some of our disabled employees within the state. Our response specifically to the question that has been asked by the committee, telecommunications, Chairperson, it is a challenging environment. It requires a significant amount of investment for us to provide the services to customers. Over the last 3 years, as you can see, MTN has spent well over 33 billion rand in capital expenditure in investment in our network. And if you look at the total industry investment as a whole, every year we spend about 25 billion. And MTN alone, out of the four big operators, we're spending about 45% of that capital investment. So we are quite serious about our investment in the country. Certainly, there are a number of constraints that we experience, and I will touch on that subject further on as a closing remark. Spectrum is quite an important aspect in terms of us providing services to our customers, call it at reduced cost. Cost provision of services, of telecommunication services, can really be split into two at a consumer level. One is the price of the actual service itself, be it voice or be it data. And then the other side of it is then the means to do that, which is the devices. As you can see, Chairperson, on the next slide, we've shown you the progression of what we call device or handset pricing over the years from 2013 up to 2017, where on average an LTE device would cost you 5,000 rand in 2012. Today, on average, an LTE device can cost you less than 1,000 bucks. And you can see as well on 3G as well as on tablet. So we are working very hard, Chairperson, together with the original equipment manufacturers to reduce the price of equipment that they bring into the country. You know, you can get now a 3G device for 399 rand, whilst 2-3 years ago, that would have cost you about 1,000 bucks. So it is quite important that we keep a watchful eye on what happens on data price, on device prices. Now, the next page, just to paint a bit of a picture, color for you in terms of what we've done in terms of investing in 2G, 3G. That is page 10, Chairperson. Just to give you a bit of color in terms of what we've done with the investment on 2G, 3G, and LTE. Today, we cover 99% of the population as far as 2G is concerned. We cover 98% of the population as far as 3G is concerned. And we cover greater than 75% of the population as far as 4G is concerned. Now, if you compare these numbers, less than 12 months ago, we were just over 50% as far as LTE is concerned. And we are, with our investment program that we've put onto the table for 2018, going to be continuing with our investment in all of those technologies. Chairperson, over the years, and then we are quite committed to this, over the years, we have been reducing data prices. We do understand it's been, call it an outcry out there, in the society. But we have been reducing data prices over the years. You can see just this last year, data prices reduced by 20%. In the previous year, it was 35%. In this last December, 1st of December, we launched a couple of specific prices that are intended for what we call the vulnerable part of the part of society. Our out of bundle pricing at one point in time they were sitting at 99 cents. We have since reduced that from the 1st of December to 60 cents on a standard pricing basis. But for the vulnerable part of the community, we've even reduced that 60 cents down to 29 cents. So ordinarily, if you are a customer that does not that uses data, what we call on an incidental basis, you actually can opt into the 29 cents rate per megabyte compared to guys that use data on a continuous basis. So we are quite clear about our intent over a period of time to reduce data prices, as we've demonstrated on that slide. On corporate social investment, we have an obligation from ICASA, like all the other operators, to roll out 1,500 schools. We've already done 1,360 schools thus far within the 5 years that were allocated to us. And that particular page indicates for you, Chairperson, some of the elements that go into each one of the schools as provided by ICASA. Over and above that, just a little over 9% of the 1,500 needs to be allocated to what we call socially challenged schools. So we'll be rolling out 140 schools. We are working quite closely with the ICASA because we can only roll out those schools after they've been allocated to us by the regulator. So we are quite ready to do that as soon as those have been allocated. And you can see the distribution on that particular bar graph. Schools connectivity, obviously, is quite important on the next slide for us, as well as entrepreneurial development. We've spent well over 300 million rand in schools connectivity programs in various provinces, as depicted there, as well as assisting small entrepreneurs to develop their own businesses. I'm not going to spend too much time, Chair, on the next slide, but that's just a depiction of the spend in our foundation over the last 10 years per each province. This foundation has been running since 2000, Chairperson, long before we got to ICT codes and things such as those. We've been allocating about 1% of our profit after tax to the foundation, and we've upped that number in line with the ICT codes to spend that money. And we are committed to continue to do that in line with the codes. In conclusion, Chairperson, certainly access to affordable communications in the country is quite crucial for our population. It's quite crucial for the economy as a whole. And that's why, as MTN, we'll continue to invest in the ICT sector. We've already announced, as an example, this 2018, that we'll be spending 9.6 billion rand in capital expenditure to expand services to different areas of the country. Committed to elimination of digital divide and to prepare the South African economy for the fourth industrial revolution. We are obviously also committed to continue to invest in social development and transformation, and committed to providing employment opportunities. So if I may just take you back to the CAPEX slide, you would have seen that on average, the last 3 years, we were spending about 6 billion rand in CAPEX, and we doubled that. And what really that means is that you effectively double the number of people that are deploying the network. You effectively double the number of people that are maintaining that network. So our commitment still stands into the country. In conclusion, Chairperson, certainly policy as certainty is quite important for us in the industry, I guess. And then the second part is that we've been begging the state to allocate a spectrum, and we would like to impress upon this committee to assist us in this particular aspect, because it is quite important for us to have access to spectrum for us to continue to provide services to the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The last presentation is from ICASA. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. thanks, Chair, Honourable Members. ICASA appreciates this opportunity that we've been given to engage with the sector on the cost to communicate. We believe that this goes to the heart of our mandate, which is to ensure affordable access to telecommunication services for all in South Africa. And our delegation comprises of myself, Councillor Butlenyana Mokgele, the CEO, Mr. Willington Webbe, two officials from ICASA, Ms. Hlela and Mr. Mphahlele, who will be taking us through the detailed presentation. The rest of the team is available to field any questions that may arise. We believe that the presentation actually gives the authority an opportunity to provide context of the realistic approach to assessing the cost to communicate, which is evidence-based based on the work that we've been doing so far. And this is in relation to voice, data, SADC roaming, but also in terms of our relative performance in terms of the cost to communicate in SADC countries, in BRICS countries, and internationally as well. We also wish to take the opportunity of this presentation to present a status update of our initiative since we were here last on the 2nd of August 2017. And as you could tell from the presentations that you've heard from the operators earlier on, we're beginning to see movement in terms of initiatives that are operator-led, in particular in relation to the out-of-bundle rates, but also in terms of the data expiry rules, which we view as a positive move. What actually just now remains with the regulators to finalize a proper framework in order to provide certainty in the market, and in particular in relation to two of our initiatives, which is the amendment to end user subscriber charter, and in relation to listing, providing a list of markets that are susceptible to competition regulation. We intend to do this within the first quarter of the next financial year, which is the 18-19 financial year. And we continue to collaborate with the Competition Commission, specifically around the data inquiry. And the reason being that we need to take our mandates respective to what is outlined in the law. I just want also to give context to the report that the chair alluded to in her opening remarks. It's actually a normal operational report that ICASA publishes. It's a tariff analysis report. So in terms of the formal processes, those are planned for the first quarter, the two as I've mentioned. I will now hand over to Mr. Mphahlele to take us through the detailed presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So in terms of the overview of the sector, so based on the information that the operators have submitted to us, we have noticed an increase in terms of the usage of data over a couple of years. And according to our analysis, this growth has been driven by the likes of WhatsApp and also the availability of content in the market. We've also seen a decrease in terms of, I think as mentioned by the other speakers, we noticed a decrease in voice tariffs since ICASA's intervention in the wholesale voice call termination market. And our concern as ICASA with regard to data is the high out-of-bundle rates relative to in-bundle rates. So currently the difference in terms of percentages between out-of-bundle rates ranges from 100% to 2,600%. So the difference in terms of the out-of-bundle and out-of-bundle rates we think is high. And we've also seen a significant amount of investment by the telecommunications sector in the country. So the operators in South Africa are investing in excess of 10 billion per annum. I think we also just want to highlight the uncertainty with regard to the future spectrum assignment to the industry, which poses uncertainty in the market and also investment risks, because we think certainty with regard to the assignment of spectrum will stimulate investment in the market. As I indicated, so ICASA still remain concerned about the difference between in-bundle and out-of-bundle rates. So the out-of-bundle rates range from 29 cents to 110 cents per megabyte. And as you can see, the first table that shows the rates in terms of in-bundle rates, so customers can pay anything between 4 cents and 29 cents in terms of the in-bundle rates. However, what we want to highlight with regards to this particular slide is the fact that low bundles, even though they are cheaper, but the in-bundle rate is very high compared to the high-value bundles. So essentially what this means is that the poor are paying more in terms of in-bundle rate compared to the rich. And in terms of the voice tariffs, so the rates that are available in the market in terms of nominal or published tariffs is ranges from 66 cents charged by Cell C and 120 charged by Vodacom. However, these are published tariffs, or what we call nominal tariffs. So if you take into account some of the value-added benefits that operators offer their end users, the rate per minute can be anything between 0 cents and 36 cents. As I indicated in the first slide, we've seen a significant shift in terms of usage in the market from voice to data. So in 2015, for example, the split in terms of revenue between voice and data was around 60-40 in favor of voice. Now we're seeing a split of 50-50%, and we think in the next 2 or 3 years, the split data basically revenue will surpass voice revenue as consumers embrace data and the adoption of the smartphone penetration increases. So as members may be aware, ICASA introduced some interventions in the market in 2017, and as a result of these interventions, we've seen operators also introducing initiatives in attempt to reduce the cost of communication in the country. So, for example, MTN reduced the out-of-bundle rate from 1 rand 50 to 29 cent at the moment. However, that 29 cent is only applicable to usage, I think, less than 50 megabytes. So even though MTN has reduced the out-of-bundle rate, but it's only applicable to the low-income market. And Vodacom also reduced the out-of-bundle rate by 50% from 2 rand to 99 cent. And also Cell C reduced the out-of-bundle rate with regard to the 66 cent tariff plan from 66 cent to 15 cent. So we have seen some reductions in the market in terms of out of bundle rates, and also Cell C revised their data expiry rules. where they offer longer validity periods, expiry periods for certain bundles. As members may be aware, ICASA you know, received complaints from consumers about the perception that data prices in South Africa are very high compared to other countries, and specifically those countries where our operators have operations. So ICASA undertook an international benchmarking exercise to try to understand the level of our data bundle tariffs or prices in relation to other countries and also where our operators have operations. So as you can see, so the slide on the left is a comparison of 500 megabytes data bundle, and the slide on the right is the comparison of 1 gig prepaid data bundle. So as members can see on the two slides, South African data bundles are one of the highest compared to the countries that we have benchmarked ourselves against. We also did another comparison that is not shown here. My apologies. However, if you look at the data bundles that are offered by MTN and Vodacom compared to the data bundles that are offered by MTN and Vodacom in the countries where they have operations, the South African prices are high compared to those countries. So in terms of BRICS countries, comparison against BRICS countries, South Africa is not expensive or it's not the cheapest. So we are sort of in the middle in terms of the bundles that we have used to compare ourselves against the BRICS countries. In terms of ICASA's cost to communicate project program, this program comprises of essentially three projects. The first one is the priority markets, as Councillor mentioned earlier. So the purpose of, or the objective of this project is to identify the markets that ICASA may potentially regulate subject to following the necessary steps envisaged in Section 67.4 of the ECA. So we have published a discussion document which is out for comments. ICASA's preliminary views with regards to this particular project is that there are three markets that should be prioritized for future regulation. So the first market is wholesale fixed access market, and the second market is the upstream infrastructure markets, and the third market is the wholesale mobile services market. And then in terms of the end user project, we published the first draft of the revised end user subscriber charter regulations in 2017, followed by another draft which was published by on the 17th of November 2017. And we have received submissions from the interested parties, stakeholders, and the hearings were held on the 1st and the 2nd of March 2018, and we should be able to publish the final regulations by the end of April 2018. Apologies, according to the slide, the publication date of the final regulations is the end of March, but the final regulations will be published by the end of April. In terms of these regulations, on a high level, ICASA is proposing essentially three key interventions. So the first intervention is that data should not expire within 3 years. And the second intervention that we're proposing is that operators must send users or subscribers notification of service depletion at specific intervals. And I think the last important intervention, key intervention that ICASA is proposing is that the current practice is that if you buy a data bundle and you finish it or deplete it, operators automatically charge you out-of-bundle rates using your airtime. We think that practice is unfair to end users because, as I indicated earlier, the difference between in-bundle and out-of-bundle rates is quite significant and it's very high. And this current practice exposes end users to bill shock. So what ICASA is proposing in the end user regulations is that operators must give end users an option to opt in to out-of-bundle charges. So for example, when after finishing your data bundle, you must give your operator authorization to charge you out-of-bundle rates using your airtime. So in terms of the call termination market review, as I indicated earlier, since ICASA's intervention in 2010, we've seen a significant reduction in voice tariffs from 2 rand 50 or 3 rand before 2010 to about 15 cents now. We are, however, in the process of reviewing the 2014 regulations, so ICASA should be able to publish the final call termination regulations for proposing a further reduction in wholesale call termination rates for the next 3 years. So in terms of the competition inquiry, ICASA is assisting the Competition Commission in terms of this inquiry. In terms of our legislation, in terms of Section 67.11 of the ECA. I'm not sure whether I'm still on time, because I see the chair is looking at me. Okay, so the last intervention that ICASA has introduced is what we call SHAR project or home and away roaming project. Essentially, the objective of this project is to reduce the cost of roaming within the SADC region. So this is the intervention that was introduced by the SADC countries to reduce the cost of roaming for SADC citizens when they roam within the region. So in terms of this project, South Africa is fully compliant with the tariff transparency guidelines, which were published in 2003. So in terms of these guidelines, operators are supposed to send roamers notifications when they go to another country. And then in terms of phase two of this project, which basically ICASA is supposed to calculate the ceilings for the wholesale cost of roaming and also the retail cost of roaming. So we have calculated the ceilings and South African operators' wholesale cost of roaming, 53% of the rate, current rates are below the ceiling, and 49% of the roaming tariffs are also below the ceilings calculated by ICASA. So the next step in terms of this project is to undertake a cost model in order to calculate the actual cost of providing roaming services. So in conclusion, we have seen a significant decrease in terms of voice tariffs. However, the out-of-bundle rates still remain a concern, especially the difference between out-of-bundle and also and in bundle rates. So in some respects, we think South African mobile data packages are relatively competitive compared to other countries, and the amendment to the end user regulations will enhance protection and also bring much relief to consumers and also minimize the bill shock as the result of the out-of-bundle rates. And also ICASA is collaborating with the Competition Commission in its data market inquiry in order to ensure that the cost of communication is reduced in the country. And also the other initiative that we introduced is the publication of tariffs on a quarterly basis in order to ensure that end users or customers are empowered in making sure that they choose the correct product. We are also concerned about the delay, as I mentioned earlier, in the assignment of spectrum, which will have a negative impact in terms of investment in the sector and probably also in our endeavor to reduce the cost of communication in the country.
Thanks, Chair. I think that's it.
Thank you very much.
The way of our presentation.
Thank you. You can...
Chair, I just wanted to conclude to say that it's by way of our presentation and the team is available to field any questions.
Thank you. We are going to do it. So thank you, Honourable Nambi, Nambi, Honourable Parkins, Honourable Julius, Honourable Singh, Honourable Safaku.
Thanks, Chair.
Are you going to ask another question?
I'll make a suggestion, and if you take my suggestions, then I'll ask. I have 72 questions, but you have to consider my suggestions first. My concrete proposal, Chair, is that we are dealing with a very important subject, and there's a background. It's not an arrangement of coming together of stakeholders in the community sector. It's because of the meeting that was held almost a year last year. And a decision was taken that it would be important to have all of them in one room so that we can be able to do justice. Well, in making my proposal, probably it will be in order to take responsibility as Parliament because I don't think it was a wise move to decide that we can do justice and deal with them before 1 o'clock. So we're supposed to have the entire day. That was going to give us ample time to engage them. I'm not joking when I said I've got a lot of questions. And probably we allowed the process of going beyond the 10 minutes. And if you are checking time, you'll understand that we have got joint programming, we've got joint rules, we've got a number of meetings, sittings at 1 o'clock. It's not even an issue of lunch because we're going to sacrifice lunch and engage this very same important subject. But because we've got other meetings, probably 3 or 4 of us that have to attend, and we're mindful that even the people that are coming to do presentations, the plan was to leave at 1. So I want you to allow all of us to ask just 2.
Thank
if you.
You
allow us to ask 2 questions,
yeah. Thank you,
then pick and choose.
Yeah.
If you want to ask Telkom, you delete Telkom. Don't reduce us to 1, because once you do that, then if we're fair in terms of time, there's no way that we're going to have the responses in an hour, and all of them, all of us as members. That's my proposal.
Yeah. I really agree with you. I think we must, you are the person in charge, Chair of Chairs, and I'm glad that you could see that we need more time, that we must set a day aside, because it's not for them only to come and present. We must see for ourselves and look if there is, according to the figures and the presentation, we can pick up there is some. But having a contract myself, I don't see there anyway the decrease in my bill. So we must look at that kind of option.
Yeah, let's do the proposal first so that you can ask.
So let us ask, and then we can make a follow-up and bring them all together that we can have a proper discussion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me...
Julius, before you...
Let me... I'm asking.
Okay.
I'm seconding the proposal, Honorable Julius.
Let me deal with it and then you'll come.
You want to do it now or are you going
no,
to...
No, no, Chairperson, I'm not seconding the proposal. In fact, I think I'm putting a counter-proposal. But it's not far from what you're proposing. It might be a rider to your proposal, but I'm thinking let's go to 10 to 2. This is a very important issue. Let's go to 10 to 2. Those of us that are available will give Honorable Nyambi the opportunity to ask his 72 questions in 10 minutes, and then we divide it. Added to that, Honorable Nyambi, that is the House Chairperson of the NCOP arrange one day for us, even if it's not in Cape Town, convenience maybe to the other stakeholders, then we can go there and thresh it out further, I think in a month's time or so. But I think it's a very important issue, Chairperson. Let's roll with it now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And all eyes is on us. Thank you very much. Over to you, Honorable Nyambi. Can I just ask, who is Tabisa Kitty? Tabisa Kitty. Tabisa. Oh, okay. No, thank you.
The first issue, Chair. No, thanks, Honorable Julius. Let me take this opportunity to welcome all the presentations. It's clear that they understood the purpose and why we decided to have all of them here. Quickly, Chair, the issue of ICASA. If I remember very well, in our last meeting, there was no debate about the expensiveness of what we're experiencing as a country in terms of the charges. That was not an issue. But now, when you are doing your presentation, I'll use the BRICS as an example. You are saying, no, this country is expensive, this one are cheap, so in between. It means if somebody who's driving a 1 million car, park it next to three people that are driving a 2 million car, then you can say, no, it's cheap because the others are more than 1 million. No, it can't be. We can't use that analogy. It's wrong. And the second one, when you're doing a presentation as ICASA, because you are the most relevant to assist us to do justice to the subject. I don't know whether it's a mistake when you are showing how they've decided to reduce the prices when dealing with the stakeholders. You left out completely Telkom. Telkom is not there. You can even go to that slide. We have MTN, Cell C, Vodacom, and we happen to have Telkom. It's here in the house, and probably they were the first one to do a presentation. And for me sitting here as somebody coming from Mpumalanga, knowing the situation and what they presented, then I'm more in the dark because you are not even assisting us so that we are able to engage out of a very informed position, because knowledge is power. The other issue, Chair, that all of them, they must understand, whether it's Minister Patel, whether it's Minister Kwele, whether it's Minister Mokonyane now, whether it's the President, all of them, they responded after what we have done as Parliament. All of them came after what we came to a conclusion that things are not normal here. That is why there is a commission of inquiry. So probably it was going to assist us Of course, there's going to be a stage where we'll have the outcome of the inquiry, but the preliminary findings of the situation confirm or correct a distortion of our understanding of what we're dealing with. The issue that is relevant to all of them, Chair, the stakeholders in the communication sector. That is why we like the drafters of the constitution in South Africa. They decided to have two houses, National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. And National Council of Provinces is people that are coming from, they are representing the interests of provinces, who are coming from all these provinces. And from time to time, we'll always remind people that are coming here to do a presentation that in South Africa, it was never meant to be triangle. It's not a mistake what you are presenting here. It's what we are dealing with on a daily basis. You'll have your Cape Town, you'll go to Gauteng, you'll go to KwaZulu-Natal, you come back to Cape Town. It's that triangle in terms of those that are benefiting. And then that is why you are even saying, no, sorry Mpumalanga, you don't even have SME. And it's not a reality. It's the entrenchment of that triangle that is a problem when reflecting about South Africa. Not so long ago, Chairperson, to be precise, 2 weeks back when we happened, I'm not going to just single them out here just to protect them as a brand. It will be good to protect them because they are doing something good, but even in a bad way. We were in I was leading a delegation from Parliament going to Russia to observe elections. When I was there, we happened to even do oversight in the program of going there to observe elections. Then the ambassador organized students coming from South Africa. One of the stakeholders that are in front, they are doing something good, but in a bad way. Good in the sense that they have sent students, they are there, they are studying, doing technology. But bad in a sense that they are just coming from one area. And that's not what, I was proud to say that's what is good, because we have people that are there, they are getting education, they'll come, they'll assist our country. But it's bad because they are coming from one area. And for that matter, there are 21. And in South Africa, we have got even 9 provinces. To get somebody from Lusikisiki, get somebody from Matatiela, and one from Buzini, it was going to be more of, and go to Gauteng, of course, or Kukuletu. Why are you consistent in not addressing what you are raising? It's applicable to all of them, Chair. Even the one of Vodacom, the mom and baby that is reaching 1 million. If you can say, it's a good program, if you can say no, can you show where we can locate the million? You'll get 600 in Gauteng, probably 300 in Durban, then the balance will get them here. And some of us were made to represent these other provinces here. We'll congratulate you when you are doing something that is good, but we'll always criticize when we are not represented as coming from those provinces. My last part, Chair, as Honorable Julius said, I can raise almost everything that I want to raise, then even if I'll leave for the other meeting, then it's the issue of them before the inquiry it's applicable to, the question is for all the stakeholders. The issue of before the inquiry, responding, we understand the issue of the spectrum, but I always get a sense of a little bit of a contradiction, because if the issue of the spectrum was the issue, it was not even going to be impossible for them to come here and say, we've been able to reduce with these rents, with this percentage, before we conclude that issue. But for the mere fact that they were able to reduce it, what is the challenge in making us to be in a situation where we'll make the poorest of the poor that are representing to say, indeed, the charges are going down? Fortunately, in Parliament, we're using all of you. Parliament is not using just one service provider. We're using all of you. And if you're saying, no, you have reduced the cost, and I'm your customer, and I don't experience that, I'm your customer, but I'm not experiencing what you are telling us. We are presenting that, you know, all is well. And then I'm asking myself, is it because am I that person who's not fortunate? Or I'm just misrepresenting what you are doing? Probably I can't read the statement, because it was less a year back, it's going up even before the 1% of next week is still up. Then with the 1%, you are even going to justify it further. You are the first one to send us the SMS to say, with the announcement by the Minister of Finance, this will be the new charges to you. We received that. We are very efficient when it comes to that. But to the issues that we raised last year to say, no man, hang on, this thing is not right. It's very expensive. But my parting shot, Chair, is that South Africa has got some provinces that are rural, and there must be beneficiaries in all what you are doing. And if you can come here, Telkom, and use this light, we'll accept it today, but it's not something that is making us happy. That is why I made the example of National Assembly and NCOP. If you are saying you have allocated these two learners, it will always be good to have a slide that will show where we can locate the learners. Whether we're talking about schools, where we can see these schools, so that we can address the issue of the triangle. You'll get bored, but consistently as members of the National Council of Provinces, we'll be raising it. And Chairperson, as the programming whip is here, it's the management of the committee can make an arrangement for us in future to have a session, to have all of them if there is that need, and plan accordingly and have ample time. And I even got a sense that probably towards the end they were tricking us. They knew that as members around 1 o'clock, and there's going to be a sitting today, we're dealing with the deputy president answering questions in our house. So there's no way that you can be here beyond our normal half day. So they were tricking us. Now we're not even going to have ample time to engage. We want to engage you, and we'll always give credit when you are assisting us, but we'll criticize you constructively so when you are changing us, and especially when you're telling us that the prices are fine. We don't agree. We don't. And the ordinary people that we represent, they are always saying, but why are you failing to deal with this thing? And the minister and the president are responding on what we raised with you. And that was almost a year ago, Chairperson. But that as it may, it was a very informative session to some of us. But we have taken some 10 steps forward, probably 100 backwards.
Let me respect the DM and the delegation and welcome and appreciate the presentation made. The last time I
I saw the minister, I said to him, I made a commitment that there's one question that I will ask 1,000 times as long as I'm a member of this committee and a member of parliament. And that question will be, when are you reducing race in South Africa? And I must be upfront. These are grandiose presentations, Chairperson. Very grandiose. And be upfront and honest to ICASA that I'm disappointed by ICASA. ICASA is supposed to be saying, you can't be here before us and tell us that the poor are paying more. We're not supposed to say the poor were paying more. We have intervened as ICASA because we have power and authority. You're supposed to be saying to us our response to the consolidated proposals and recommendations from Cell C, Vodacom, Telkom, MTN, our response and intervention as ICASA is this one. Now, the process of the Commission of Inquiry is a belated intervention. It's a belated intervention, you know. The line that has been taken by Honorable Nyambi is the same line, Chair. It will sound like a repetition. Look, I've noted here the same questions that he has asked. Abantu bathethi English, bathi great minds, things like. I was leading a delegation in the Eastern Cape just a week ago. There's a rural area called Tuili. It's a village in the Eastern Cape, Matatiel. Now, if you talk of ...3,000 connected schools, I can say to you, Vodacom, can you break down those schools that you say are connected? You said to us 390 e-schools users. I will say to you, please break down those schools and demographics of those schools. You say 12 million bursary schemes. You say youth ICT dealing with issues of unemployment. And I will say to you, please locate them. Where are these young people? Where are these beneficiaries of the bursaries? And if you say schools are connected, I will ask you, it really ikhona na kule connection othetha ngayo esikoleni, because in those deep rural areas, there's no electricity, there's nothing. Huh? Now, the mentality of our officials, state departments, people who are influential, the bedroom thinkers in our offices, including yourselves, Vodacom, MTN, Telkom, I think it's the mentality of being Europeanized too much. It's just good some of us, we are not yet Europeanized. We still live in South Africa, we are from rural areas, we siyagoduka sihlalo. Inyanga nenyanga siyagoduka sibheke ekhaya. And you see the tormenting poverty that affects our people. And we all have responsibility to effect quality change in the lives of those poor people. Now, and I want to front load, Chair, a concrete proposal. When we meet with them, despite the process of the Commission of Inquiry, né? But ICASA must come to us and respond to all this, because each and every presentation made here is having recommendations and challenges. ICASA must come to us and respond to this as a consolidated approach. And the second issue, Chair, is when you do your research and comparison, you can't compare South Africa to Swaziland.
can't compare South Africa to Zimbabwe. And you come to us, you think that you have made a qualitative and scientific research. No. As I was saying, it will sound like a repetition, you know, because academics, they say South Africa is a country, is an underdeveloped country. But with characteristics of a developing or developed country. Now, when you do ICASA, your research, there must be a balance. We must be scientific. We must not attempt to deform the reality. Because the reality in South Africa is majority of our provinces are rural provinces. The reality is many people in these rural areas are still faced by tormenting poverty day in, day out. And the tormenting crisis of unemployment. I'm saying to you, that in 22 years, there are people in the Eastern Cape who are without electricity. How do you help them as Telkom, Cell C, MTN, you are four? How do you help those poor villages? Since you are saying you are having massacre, Siaka program. Yes, it's a good program, Izekaya. But who are the actual beneficiaries? They are in Gauteng. They are in Cape Town. I think these are the issues that I wanted to raise, Shepherd. That the orientation, we need to change the orientation and the way we think as South Africans. We are living in South Africa, and the reality that is facing us on a daily basis, there must be a willpower, ICASA, a willpower to change and effect quality change in the lives of our people. Whoever who've got the authority, that authority must assist our people, not our selfish interest as directors, CFOs, and CEOs. As members of Parliament, Chair, we represent the aspirations of our people and the needs of our people. That's the bottom line. But the session that we are talking about shouldn't be postponed and come after 6 months again, 7 months. We are going for elections next year. And if we want to have, to leave a good, positive legacy, it's on these matters of data, bundling, all that, because our keys are dependent on data. You call it universal access, planted slung school. Universal access. That universal access must impact on our students and villages.
Thank you, Honorable Marcus. Honorable Julius.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. You want to go? Chairperson, I think we all agree that the cost to communicate is too high in South Africa. So I think we need to cut through the chase and go straight. The issue is how. How do we do it? Now, we heard proposals from all operators and also from ICASA, their report on it. Not much. Because ICASA, in the first place, you know, you just mentioned, you know, and I have a problem with it, in your presentation, you just mentioned that the issue of spectrum poses an investment risk. You didn't elaborate. Did you mean the court case between yourselves and the minister? And I'm disappointed that the minister is not here, because the minister is cardinal in this issue of reducing cost to communicate. It's one, like Honorable Paki said, it's one of those things where we need to sit on. We need to sit on and try to get this thing out of our way before we end our term. Because people are suffering out there, especially in rural areas. They are really suffering there. But Chairperson, let me first get to Telkom. I just need to some clarity questions. Telkom said you need subsidies. You propose subsidies. Now, I want to know from you, whose money will subsidize you? It's taxpayers' money. You want us to subsidize your business with our money and still pay for your product. That doesn't make business sense to me. I think, Telkom, the reason why you have 4% now in the market or 5% in the market is because you don't have the business acumen. And that's plainly put. We need to grow as businesses in this country. You cannot say, I want the subsidy. Put up your hand, government, please give, please give, please give. It's not sustainable. Totally not sustainable. Please substantiate your need for a subsidy. Why can't you go out and make money like the others? ICASA will regulate you, but please don't come and hand out your business. Go out and get your money like the others do. Chairperson, then also with Telkom, the copper cables and stuff that you spoke about, it's very expensive. Can you please tell us what's your proposal to make cost cheaper in terms of your infrastructure spend? Because you're spending a lot of money in terms of infrastructure. Do you really think that there are no other things like mention spectrum? Can spectrum be the option for you to have cheaper data? I know there's a proposal under WoWEN, and I'm coming to WoWEN now. Chairperson, WoWEN, can the department, I hope someone is here, I see there's a presentation from the department. The DG, I don't know whether the DG is here, Mr. Nkuna. But Chairperson, we need an explanation on WoWEN. As a committee, we need a presentation on WoWEN. We never had a presentation on WoWEN. We don't know the structure of WoWEN in the first place. Chairperson, I believe that if WoWEN, it didn't even pass in other countries, not even in the trial stages, countries like Mexico, Kenya, and so forth. WoWEN, you must come to the committee and explain to us, because critical to reducing the cost to communicate is WoWEN. The spat between the minister and ICASA to free up data is critical to our debate to cost, to reduce cost to communicate. And I don't think we need to run away from it. Sadly, ICASA ran away from the issue. And I'm disappointed that you don't come with a real issue and tell us what's the issue here. What's the elephant in the room here? Because I hear from the operators that if they get spectrum now, rural areas will have faster and cheaper internet now. So why don't we free up spectrum? Why didn't you mention that you are actually at loggerheads with the minister in terms of this? That's what the committee must know. That's how we make up our minds. The operators, some have, but others were not specific to say these are the real issues. You might have some issues. Please tell me about the schools and that you do and what. It won't simply not reduce the cost. It's not for this discussion today. I don't think it will reduce the cost, Chairperson, because rural areas, if we don't free up spectrum now, and using, let's say we use WoWEN. WoWEN will come into effect about 8 years from now, if you start now. Because it must go to normal procedures and all that. 8 years from now, do we have the time for rural children to wait for 8 years to get 4G, 5G and all that? We are depriving them of economic development. We are depriving them of education that they so dearly need now. Now, not in 8 years' time. We are depriving the South African economy from competing in a world economy where other countries are more advanced than ours. I know we have to simply take into account the context of the South African economy and the past. We have to work that in, but I don't think that WON will be the answer right now. I think a free market economy is what we need right now, with interventions to eradicate the past. But the WON self-controlled, I don't know, ICASA didn't come out and say the minister wants to pull our teeth with WON. Because you are the regulator now. You are the operator that will give license. You will tell them that, listen, this is what you need to do in terms of BEE, triple BEE. This is what you need to do. In your licensing, you have the capacity. But you're not coming out to say that today. And I'm a bit disappointed that you didn't cut through the chase. Chairperson, let me continue with that discussion. I want to know from all operators here. I didn't get clear. What's the impact of your current infrastructure needs? I heard that, you know, Vodacom said, no, not Vodacom, Cell C said that, listen, we don't need all to set up infrastructure right next to each other. But what are your needs now? Your infrastructure needs. What was it in the years that you started investing in this sector? And how did it impact? Because remember, you can invest, you will not pay because the consumer will pay at the end. What was it and how did it impact on the cost to reduce? Because we saw with Eskom, when they started out, they said, consumer, please pay. Nurse, I want more money because we need more infrastructure investment to produce more power. But never did Eskom come back and say, listen, consumer, now I have enough, you don't have to pay that much anymore. You increased your cost because your infrastructure needs, because of your infrastructure needs. When will it end? What's the impact? How did your prices increase here? Tell us about the other countries in South Africa. ICASA mentioned it. Other countries in South Africa, why are you charging higher prices than in South Africa, in other countries? The second one that I need to ask to all operators, WON, I know some of you just touched on WON, but I feel this is the elephant in the room. Can you tell us the impact that WON will have on your cost? Chairperson, that's why I said we need to have a presentation on WON. I need to know what will happen with WON. What's the structure of WON? Will they come out and take a deputy minister? Will they come out and say, right, WON, under this, you take all the spectrum from all the current operators and we will distribute it in a way that we want to distribute it? Is that what we're doing? If that's the case, can ICASA also tell me, what's your stance on it? You can't be silent on this. I know you're opposing it, but you're silent on this in this meeting. And that cannot be the case. Chairperson, I'm almost done. And how will WON lead to... I want to ask Cell C, will WON ultimately lead to cheaper data? Or reducing data costs. I want to know that, because if you tell me yes tomorrow it will do that. Don't tell me in 8 years it will do that, because these children, these people, especially in rural areas, need it now and they need it right now. Chairperson, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think you covered my questions as well. Over to you, Honourable
Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Deputy Minister, when a Graham was making a presentation from Cell C, indicated that there are a few companies that are monopolizing the market, which make it very, very difficult because there is a lack of the competition in the market. They are flooding that one. And then the prices, they can rocket it as when and as they wish. So indeed that is an impediment. It is a point that is making it very difficult for the poor to access this reduction on the communications. My leaders have already indicated that we are representing provinces. During the 10th and the 11th of this month, it was very, very important. Those are important days for ensuring that members of our communities should go and check themselves in terms of the state of readiness for the coming election 2019. Disappointingly, if you go along the border in the area of Sibinstad, Lekgopong and Moshana, should be having two cell phones, one being Vodacom, the other one being MTN. The poor rural people in that areas can hardly phone to check as to whether the station will be open, where they can go and register and check whether they are registering. Because it will be, say, roaming the orange. It's referring you to Botswana. But if you go another distance with at least Vodacom, Vodacom will be accessible to those poor communities. As one of the two big companies that are dominant in the market, what is it that we are not doing well to make sure that you are accessible to this poor community? Perhaps ICASA, of course, should be firm and make sure that they break this monopoly of to make sure that indeed there is a competition. And there shouldn't be a no-go areas for other emerging companies to compete in that space. They can't just buy that space. Otherwise, a lot has been said by my colleague. Maybe you can check also the recorded sound. Is the charter vocal or is it silence in terms of ensuring that communications will be cheaper? Okay. I'm posing this to ICASA now. Also on the cost to communicate. Is it driven by the demand, or are we looking at the economy of the country, ensuring that the poor should indeed also have access to it? Because this is the reduction from the presentation that we had is in favor of the rich. The poor are locked out. What is it that we are breaking this impediments, this block that is really making it difficult? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I'd like to also end my voice into thanking the service providers for the information, or I should say half the information that they've given us today. I would like to make a proposal. I have a few questions as well, but proposals that I think I've heard other members have made here as well. Now that we have the presentations with us, and we need to formulate questions from that presentation, we're not going to do justice in the time allocated for this meeting, that we have another session with the service providers where we are better equipped to ask the questions because we'd have had the time. I leave that to the programming whip sitting next to me here to give us that opportunity. I represent one of the largest provinces, KZN, KwaZulu-Natal, with a large rural community. And that's my concern when I speak of the demographics in regards to schools that you have given us numbers of without any indication of where the schools are located, which parts of the country, which part of the provinces. If it is in the part of a province where it is closer to the cities, in order to give you popularity and leave out the rural areas where it's needed most, we'd like to know that because we represent those communities. And we are mindful of this, of communication from the rural communities that they have difficulties in. Some of the questions have been asked already, but I'd like to ask the important question is, why is South Africa's price of data in South Africa more expensive than other countries? What is it? Are we a very rich country that you charge us much more than you charge other countries? And I also picked up the 29 rand and the 15 cents from quite a few presentations. Chair, like ICASA, to see any collusion between these companies. Now, these figures are the same figures coming up from the different presentations. And if it is, then we know how to handle that. The question of data expiring. When I pay for something, I don't want it to expire till I use it all up. You know, even this bottle of water, when I start drinking, I'll drink as much as I can, and then I'll keep the rest for a little later. So data should not be expiring. There are other questions, I think, that have been asked to the providers. But I think that time that you allocate for a better session, since we have the presentation with us, we'd make, I think, our questions available then. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Singh.
Thanks, Chair. My question is only one, Chair, and it's directed to ICASA. My apologies for arriving late, Chair. I did apologize. Chairperson, my question is around the issue of data, the expensive data in South Africa. I noticed that the ICASA did some research, and what I would like to know from your research, what are the plans you have to deal with the matter? In your plans, are there any challenges that you need us as the NCOP to help you to reach what is expected from the service providers of the data?
I'm raising this question because for us it's not only about criticizing you and congratulating you. It's also about helping when there is a need to do so. Thank you. I think I'm going to give over to you. You want to ask a question or you want to say something? Deepi?
No, Chair. Just an overall comment so that even when industry or all other stakeholders respond, we are able to put the message through on what we think should be the way forward. Okay.
Can you just give me 1 minute? I also want to emphasize, I do understand that the big companies is doing their infrastructure. But when we are going to have, because if I'm going to say what I want to say now, I need to have the whole day, because there's a lot of questions that we need to answer, and the time is not there. I was thinking, honorable members, instead of inviting these role players, can we go out, maybe to Joburg, but we are going to do the programming and bring it to you, programming authority, chairperson or vice chairperson. That I do have an idea, because for us to come here and talk, speak on, we must even invite the users of different sectors, like the youth group, to come and present how they feel this data burden on them. Out of the elderly group, come to that gathering. That's in my mind, that I have in mind, that one day workshop. So I'm not going to bother, but it is, like I was saying, not in a month's time. We are going to say in 6 months' time. In a month's time, we want to come together. We want to have that kind of engagement so that we need really to see there is proper, the pricing went down, really proper intervention to reduce the price. That is one of the three items that we plan to finish in our term. So don't think our term is almost done. It's only a talk shop. We plan to finish our term and going out to say we got it right in our term to reduce the cost of data in our term. Thank you. Over to you, Deputy.
Chairperson, I just want to say I'll be back next term. Don't worry.
I'm going to allow the DP to do an input.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think seated here, the engagement was very helpful from what members were saying. And I think the call that the committee is making to all of us is that flowing from the state of the nation of the president and what the president is now doing in engaging the private sector, this sector that is also in telecoms must come to the party in terms of investment, but also in terms of their CSI and activities that they want to do in developing our community. So I will request you, Chair, that for sure in the next round of engagement, as you'll be doing your own oversight, all of them must be able to say, as they present their CSI, this is what we have done, and give a breakdown on all those things. But coming to policy issues and regulatory framework, which touches on the Department of Communications and DTPS, as well as ICASA. Chair, I think Minister Mukonyani has already started with Minister Kwele to meet and start to look at overlapping issues with regard to the issues of telecoms. How can we coordinate better, and how can we make sure that there are no gaps, so that as we meet with industry, we are speaking in one voice, but one message and many voices. So even if communication speaks this side or DTPS speaks this side, we know what we are saying with regard to the regulatory framework. What are the enablers for us to make the cost to communicate cheaper? And then the spectrum assignment, where are we? So those are the things that we think we now have to deal with them and so on, including the issue that the honorable member was raising of one. So that by the time we come, we are able to, from a joint or an interministerial kind of a relationship, we are able to present to the select committee on how we deal with the totality of issues. We have proposed to the Portfolio Committee on Communications to say they must always bring the Portfolio Committee on DTPS, the DTI, and everybody, because the issue of the spectrum, the digital migration, and all other things are overarching, and we have to now move with speed because there are also timelines that are related to it. So we take what members have said, and we want to come back to honorable members jointly and then be able to present accordingly. We have noted what is expected of ICASA. We'll meet with ICASA and USASA, because we should not forget USASA. They have a responsibility to do broadband in rural areas. So they too must come on board so that we are able to deal with some of those things.
Thank you. Yeah. Minister, can I give over? I don't know who's going to take the lead, because it was cross-cutting questions. Give answers. Who?
ICASA must give answers. Okay. Thanks. Chairperson, sorry for the mess, but the department itself didn't say anything. The department didn't say anything about the issues, or did the deputy minister represent this department? Oh, both of them. No, then I'm happy. But will they respond to the questions that we raised? If there are questions, who will respond?
Now, can we give over? If there is a need for the department to come in, we can allow it. Okay, sure. Thank you, the department. Let's go over and see who can assist with the questions that was proposed. You know the questions. If you feel comfortable to answer, it's your field, answer the question. Of course, everyone was showing now that they know the answer to answer, really. Thank you. Over to you. Who's going to take the lead?
We'll start, Chair. ICASA. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I think the Deputy Minister has already dealt with a number of issues that were directed at us. So I wouldn't want to venture to talk to them further. But just a comment from me to say that one of the key takeaways for us is obviously the sentiment of disappointment that's been expressed by members in relation to ICASA. So we take that on board. We take it in the spirit that it is intended, which is to say that we must get off our laurels, we must do more, and we can do more to make the necessary interventions. Chair, on the issue of spectrum and the WAN, I think, as the Deputy Minister has highlighted, we didn't think that today would be an appropriate forum for us to come and deal with that. And just for the record, Chair, on the 26th of October 2016, we appeared before this committee, and we went into details around
the spectrum issue. We then appeared before the committee on the 2nd of August 2017. And again, we canvassed our views on those issues. So from where we are sitting now, I think our views are a matter of public record. We are now going to be engaging in the process that the Deputy Minister has alluded to so that we can get to a resolution on the issue that's been a bit of a stumbling block for a while. So I'm going to pause here, and if there are any specific questions perhaps relating to competition and the other specifics, my colleagues will take them.
Yeah, thank you. The chairman was saying specific questions to a stakeholder. Can you address you took a question? Can I hear? Protocol?
So, Chairperson, sorry. Can I just stop there, please? Sorry for interrupting again, Chairperson, but I'm not happy with the response from ICASA. ICASA didn't answer a single question. Not a single question. Tell us about how you feel about spectrum, your war, because you, this is where you fight. This is Parliament where you fight. You don't fight in the courts. This is where you fight. I mean, we cannot come here, sit here, and ICASA tells us, I wouldn't venture to go into that, but you go venture in the courts.
Thank you.
I mean, it's unacceptable. I know we are rushed for time, Chairperson, but I mean, ICASA's here. What did they come here to do all day? To tell us they won't venture. They spent money to come here, time to come here, and you tell us, I can't venture into that. That's not an answer, sorry.
My
understanding of ICASA is that they are a delegation. So it was one person who has responded, and the others were still going to deal with what we have raised. No, it's not Vodacom. It was still with ICASA. No, it's not Vodacom.
Yeah, okay, sure. Maybe it was my ruling. Let's go and see. ICASA, are you prepared? Come and answer. There was specific questions.
Okay.
Can we deal with that specific question? That is nothing to do with you going back and you still discuss. That is another meeting. Can we, if there was specific questions answered to you, even though if you're going to give the same response, just respond to the questions, specific questions, what was raised by the Honourable Member. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I'd also just want to reiterate the sentiments that's been echoed by both the CEO and the Deputy Minister, that issues around spectrum, the war and the IMT litigation specifically. I think this might not be an appropriate platform to deal with all the issues that are involved. And the issue has already been dealt with extensively in previous meetings. But I just think in terms of the questions that have been posed, they can actually be grouped into three categories.
Can I please address you on that?
Yes.
Please refrain of saying it's not the proper platform, because we are a select committee of Parliament. Therefore, we can engage and ask questions, and you must give answers if a member asks a question. Please, thank you.
No, that's fine. Chair, I was actually about to venture into the specific questions that we have been asked. These are in three categories from our point of view. It speaks specifically to the research that we presented. There were reservations around the methodology, comparator countries that we've selected, and there was also a sentiment that was echoed that their approach is very urban-centric. It doesn't take into account the realities. The second set of questions are around the world specifically, around spectrum allocation, and specifically the IMT licensing litigation. And then the third category goes to competition. And I think that's how we're going to approach the questions. We'll start with the research and stats methodology, which the CEO together with the officials will address. We'll then move on to the one, spectrum allocation and IMT licensing litigation, which the CEO will then field. And the third is around competition, which myself together with the officials and the CEO will field. But I just want to preface to say that the statistics that we presented here today were not to say that all is well. It's a basis from which, as the regulator, that we're going to be intervening from. We just thought that it would be opportune to use this forum to give a realistic status quo as where we are in terms of the cost of data. And that is what we are actually intervening to ensure that the cost does go down. And I just think that in terms of competition, it's the actual gist of pricing and data pricing. And that if you note that the program that ICASA has presented actually addresses different levels. There's a surface level that deals with data expiry rules, and there's a second layer that goes to the actual data market and how we are meant to intervene. But there's also a bigger structural approach that we are taking in terms of competition, which is what the essence of the priority markets project is about. And I think the approach that we're taking is actually legislated. It's what is expected of us as the regulator. It's a process that's in the law that we need to follow. But we just thought that given that this is such an important factor in terms of the economy and in terms of consumer wellness, that we need to take a three-pronged approach. So we are addressing competition issues. But just to go to the specific questions that have been raised, I'm going to propose that we approach them that way. That is the research and the methodology that we used. And secondly, issues around spectrum. And thirdly, issues around competition. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, Lewen will deal with the research. But there was a question specifically asked by the Honourable Chair of the NCOP about the benchmark and us leaving out Telkom in some of the slides. I think, Chair, by their very nature, benchmarks are very contentious because no two countries can ever be the same. So there will be differences in population, in geography, in income, and in their policies. As a result, there will always be those nuances around benchmarks. Somebody can come with a different set of countries and say South Africa is the cheapest. Another person can choose a different set of countries and say South Africa is the most expensive. So we must always take them with a pinch of salt. So the reason why we came with the benchmark, when we appeared before the committee in August, we only had the SADC benchmark. And there were questions asked in the committee about, okay, we have seen how we compare to SADC, how do we compare to other countries? Then we went, for the purposes of this session, we went back and then we expanded the scope of the benchmarks. So let's accept that the benchmarks are merely meant to show how we compare to others. I wouldn't say because we are cheaper than Brazil, therefore there is no problem. That's not what we are saying. There was a comment made about us leaving out Telkom. I think just to contextualize it, so on slide 4 and slide 5, on those benchmarks, we included all four operators. On slide 7, where we were talking about the operator's response to the end user subscriber service charter, we didn't include Telkom. And the reason for that is we did not see anything that they did specifically to respond to that draft regulation. And it could very well be that we may have missed it, and they are here, they can say if there is any specific response that they mounted after the draft regulation came out. On slide 9 and 10, we didn't mention any of the operators. We used the, I think we used the averages for the country, and we posted the benchmark. The question around spectrum and one, Chair, I think at the risk of repeating myself, our views are a matter of public record. We have presented twice to the committee. Our views are, as recently as last month when the department had hearings, our views are that we think a monopolistic one is a better idea. If you look at the ITA that we published at the time that we issued the ITA, which is subject to litigation, we proposed a hybrid model. We
I think there's space that perhaps there ought to be a model under which everyone can be canvassed, as well as industry also get spectrum. So we think exclusive assignment of spectrum to any single entity is not the best idea. That's in summary. And again, it's on record, Chair. I think, Chair, there was questions about what is it that we are doing to deal with the monopoly in the market. In the presentation, and I accept that perhaps these interventions ought to have been expedited, because the cry around data prices has been with us for a while. But in the presentation, we spoke about different interventions. We spoke about the end user subscriber service charter as an immediate measure to deal with transparency and unfairness of the business rules, and that regulation will come out end of April. We spoke about the projects on priority markets, and through that project we will be intervening in the specific markets to deal with all the bottlenecks that have resulted in the market being uncompetitive or being a duopoly as has been advanced. I think, Chair, that concludes the specific questions that we needed to deal with, except for the one about the research methodology. Perhaps that may need to be dealt with.
Ma'am, who is going to address?
Thank you. In terms of the research methodology that ICASA used, I think the CEO has somehow touched on it. We did look at we looked at the SADC region, obviously, because South Africa is within that region. And also we looked at the economic dynamics around that. We looked at the market structure in the fuller comprehensive report, which, of course, we couldn't submit into this whole entire presentation because of time factors. But also we did consider the number of operators. When we looked at the average price to compare to South Africa, obviously we looked at each and every operator in that particular country that we were comparing to get to the average. And we looked at South Africa, not just the main mobile operators, but we looked at even your AfriHost, your MNOs, if there was anything that would make them differ in terms of their data price, because we're looking at the market holistically. We're not looking at an individual operator. And then what we also did is we looked at BRICS, and we also looked at, specifically, we looked at Vodacom and MTN, because that's the two South African operators which have international footprint as well. And from there, again, I think Luang did touch on it in the presentation. It is clear that MTN and Vodacom, where they've charged in other countries, it is lower. But obviously, the price factor alone is not an element that ICASA would have just considered on its own. We did look at costing elements that goes into what could potentially be the cost elements that contribute to the cost of data. There we looked at technology, technological factors, we looked at geographic factors. For instance, if you compare Swaziland to South Africa, Swaziland is more inland and it's more mountainous. And those are the issues that obviously in our data report we considered. And generally the idea was, when we did this research, was because every time you would look on your social media, you will see people primarily will go and compare Nigeria to South Africa, compare India to South Africa. They would have used whatever conversion methodology to come to a price. For instance, I think there was at some point 11 rands for 1 gig in India. So the point of the research basically was to say, whatever's in the public domain, is it factual? So to give ICASA a standing point as a regulator to have that information that backs it up to say, whatever the cries are out there, are they valid? Is there some way in which ICASA then can address specifically, if it's about the 500 megabytes, which is an issue, what remedies can ICASA then come through for that particular issue? So it was just to get to the ground of what is happening, why is South African prices higher in comparison to other countries where our own operators operate in. And basically that's what the research was about. And obviously we will be expanding on it. This is just the initial groundwork, as the CEO said, following having came here and being told to expand on our research. So there is other work that will be ongoing in the background that ICASA is currently undertaking, which will filter into the various other projects which Mr. Patela has gone into, such as your priority market, as well as the end user. For us to even come to the end user amendments, obviously there is always research that is ongoing that ICASA undertakes. Yeah, but I think that was the methodology issue. What else?
Okay, thanks, Chair. I think just to add on what my colleague said, so from competition perspective, point of view, I think we do accept the views of the members that there are potential competition issues that ICASA should perhaps address. And I think it's important to highlight that ICASA has actually embarked on quite a number of initiatives to try to address the competition, potential competition issues in the market. So as highlighted in the presentation, so we have embarked on a process called to identify specific markets or to identify bottlenecks in the telecommunications market. So for example, if I may just indicate that one of the markets that we have identified is the sharing of infrastructure, for example. We may introduce regulations. I'm saying may because introducing regulations on competition matters requires us to follow a certain process. But nevertheless, we may introduce regulations that are going to force, for example, operators to share infrastructure. And also we may introduce regulations, for example, that are going to mandate operators to have mobile virtual networks on their platforms. And I think it's also important to highlight that ICASA is undertaking a review of the number portability regulations. So these regulations about customers changing operators but keeping their numbers. So the current regulations have they are currently under review. There are some challenges that ICASA is addressing. So hopefully, if the portability of number from one licensee to another is enhanced, customers should be able to switch from one licensee to another to take advantage of low prices. And I think the last project that I think is important for competition is the review of the call termination rates. And these rates are very important because the price of voice services, especially the price of off-net voice services, are highly dependent on the level of termination rates. So ICASA is currently reviewing the 2014 call termination regulations, and the rates will be reduced for the next 3 years. Our expectation is that the reduction in the termination rates will result in further reductions in voice tariffs that we've seen over the past 4 years. So Chair, I think, as I said, we do acknowledge that there are potential competition issues, and ICASA has introduced quite a number of initiatives to address those issues. Perhaps these initiatives did not come out in our presentation, but we have introduced quite a number of initiatives which will hopefully address competition to reduce the cost of communication in the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And there was a question about Wawan. Why are you only concentrating on certain areas? How are you doing the spread?
How you do the education? How you do identify a school or a system? The kind of music we want to know.
Thank you. And I think that question is to all the stakeholders.
Yes, thank you very much for that, Chair. So we have picked up, I think, 7 specific questions that we are able to respond to. just to respond to your immediate question, we do have all the information of and the detailed information of what was presented here from the connected schools, teaching centers, academies, and so on. And with your permission, we would like to email that to the committee secretary so you can have then a proper record of all of that. The issue, I think, that is that warrants a further discussion, and perhaps when the committee then do the visits, the site visits, as you were alluding to, we certainly would welcome that, because that would give us an opportunity to discuss the provinces where we are not doing that well, what the challenges are, and how members in particular, through their constituency offices can assist us. Because we are sitting with a challenge where we have SIACA platform and services, we have CSI services, and we want to do more, but we are constrained. And actually, it's members in the constituencies, particularly in COP, that have access, that can assist and help us. So we have some ideas around that, but it certainly is something that we can discuss as part of that site visit. And then we can go through each of the programs individually, give the specific, you've heard, for example, about the mom and baby and the million that use the service. But actually, there's potential for more. But again, it's access to the communities, building better awareness, sharing more information, and that is where we believe that the members in particular can assist. So the answer to the first question is certainly the information and the detail will be provided to yourself through the committee secretary, and so we can do that. And then the idea is when we do have that site visit, which we welcome, then we can really open up as to the challenges as we've experienced it and the extent to which members can possibly assist us. So I hope I've dispensed of the one. There are other questions again that, and our response will be, is if we can send the responses again to the chair, to the committee secretary. For example, we do have responses on the issue around the reductions of rates in South Africa, the whole theme about rates, and how our pricing compares with pricing of our own operations outside of South Africa. Those are examples, again, that we would like to send to the committee so that it become a point of discussion, a real detailed discussion when we do meet on our one-on-one. So that was sort of the second category of questions. The first category, as I said, was where are we providing and rolling out services? The second one is all relating to pricing and the high cost to communicate. What are we doing about it? And there we can certainly send more information to members. I'm just going through here. I think we also would like to respond from how we see the impact of the war on cost to communicate from the perspective of what Vodacom has proposed. So Vodacom has not proposed the monopoly war. Vodacom has made what we think is a workable alternative, which is the hybrid model. And we would like to also then attach what we believe the impact of our proposal will be on the cost to communicate. We will also respond to the question of the extent to which the charter is vocal or silent on communication and the cost of communication, and Linda will certainly help just in formulate the response there. And I'm just looking through data expiry. We will certainly respond to the question of data expiry. The Honourable Member has said he certainly does not want it to expire. He wants it to be like his drinking water in the bottle. We have an answer. We want to respond to that. And then lastly, Chair, just from my side, yes, there are certainly issues where we believe members of the NCUP can assist us with, and it's something I guess we would really like to take forward, and we will prepare now for that one-on-one engagement when you do travel to Johannesburg. And also we like the idea that if you invite the different stakeholders from youth and others to come and share the experience, because we've sort of segmented our approach in that respect, but the extent to which it works or not works, we would value also and be part of that discussion if we can on that feedback. You've alluded to a one-day workshop. So that is really the response that I will give now. And it's unfortunate, madam, that yourself and others are not feeling the reduction. So we have our two pricing experts here, and maybe they will also think how to make you feel and experience the reduction, because you say you hear about it, but you don't feel it. So our two pricing experts will assist. Also, just how is it that we're not sharing properly? Is it not awareness? Is it because there is a reduction, but your consumption is increasing? We're not clear, but we would like a further discussion on that. So from my side, it's clear that we're going to send you our responses. We're going to prepare for and detailed engagement with yourselves on some of these issues. And then I have some other colleagues, I'm not sure, but if I can just hand over to the Chief of Corporate Affairs, the time is limited, to just her closing comments as well.
I don't think you must engage me on how I feel that. Let's keep it. Don't engage me or other members on how we experience, we don't feel. Let's wait for that workshop, where we can invite people and you can explain. I will even bring, I'm a Vodacom customer and I complain every day if you go and look at my things. Because really, but we can have that kind of discussion and even bring my bill that you make me understand where did I score or how can I see where I, you know, where the reduction is. But not for today, because it's a private thingy there. I'm not private, but I don't want to deal with member things here. We are dealing with the community out there, the issues of them. But I mean what I experience, they experience the same thing out there. So let's keep it for that. It's not going to be long. Yeah, we are going to meet with you and the customers out there. Thank you very much. Can I give you an opportunity?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. To add to what my colleague has said, we will also humbly encourage members of this committee to also engage with the Portfolio Committee on Education and also maybe with the Ministry of Education, because what we do on education, we don't do it in isolation from the government programs. In fact, we go to the department and we say, what can we do with ICT to help you? So when it comes to the choice of schools, it is not us that choose the schools. It is the department that choose the schools. However, we encourage that there is a broader outreach. In fact, just to give an example, Vodacom is planning to launch what we call the Vodacom Schools of Excellence. And in order to avoid a concentration in the same provinces, we have designed it that we should look at each ethnic group, so that when you say you are choosing one per province, in a province like Limpopo and Mpumalanga, where you've got more than one ethnic group, how do you choose one ethnic group and you leave the others? So it will be good for that conversation. In fact, when we leave here, we are going to have a meeting with the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Education. And the other information that we will provide you when we bring what Andrew has mentioned will also be issues relating to the input cost. I know ICASA has touched on that. But other than Spectra, there are issues that relate to how we work with municipalities and how we work with ESCOM. Where ESCOM does not have a grid, it means we have to absorb the cost. Where municipality does not have a road, it means we also have to absorb the cost. Sometimes it takes a year or two for municipality to give approval for a base station to be set up, and that impacts on rural coverage. And then the last thing that we will give you as part of information will be the rural coverage plan. Last year we had a thorough engagement with the Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services. When he went to a place called Umhlaba Yalingana, he went there with former President Zuma. And the biggest challenge that government had was not just lack of coverage to the communities around that area. It was also because of security reasons that it is at the border area, and therefore that is where you find most of the organized criminals operating. Just 2 weekends ago, we launched a base station there. So we've got a full program which we can share with members of Parliament. Thank you.
No, no, Chairperson. I mean, if the other operators can also be so smart,
yeah,
say that
saying.
We will come with all the information next time we have the
question. Yeah, that's why I was saying, in my view, when you ask the questions, it was not only ICASA's problem. It was directly asked to the relevant stakeholders. Can I, the next one, short, not long, but, yeah.
Chairman, thank you very much. I'm going to attempt to answer some of the questions. I'll also just allocate some of the questions to my colleagues. We've noted the concern around how we've presented our CSI program. We humbly request that we also provide detail at a later stage. But the model that we use also is that of partnership, so we don't focus in one area. We do focus in other areas such as the Free State and Eastern Cape and so forth. We also have a very clear employee I-volunteer program, which is really across the country. But I think it would be important that we provide the details through email or and so forth, if the committee is happy with that. There were a number of questions posed. The one was on the proposed subsidies that we're proposing government to subsidize the poor. Siyabonga, who is head of regulation, is going to take that question. He's also going to respond to the question around the impact that the WEN has on our capital structure. Would it ultimately lead to cheaper data? There was also a question around copper theft proposal. And maybe just to start then I will hand over to our COO, Lucas Ndala, or CEO of OpenSafe. I think what we're saying is that this challenge has been a challenge that has been going on for a while, and it doesn't only affect telecom, but other industries as well, such as Eskom and Transnet, and there has been some collaboration for a very long time. What we really pleading for here is government support, because it is a syndicate, as we know, that has been working in these areas for many years, and they come back over and over. So it is quite costly in terms of maintenance and so forth. So we're saying that if we could get that support from government to make sure that this area, from a criminalization perspective, is made legal, would really assist us a long way as industries, not just telecom, but also the Eskoms and the Transnet of this world. So if I can just hand over to Lucas Ndala, who is the CEO of OpenSafe, to take the two questions on infrastructure. And then the question on expiry of data will be taken by Hasnin, who is the CFO of Telkom Consumer.
Thanks, Tulu. Honorable Chairperson, on the issue of the around the, you know, whether are we looking at modernizing our copper, yes, there are initiatives that we are looking at. One of the prominent initiatives is around fiber, where we're putting in fiber to replace copper in some of the areas, but also looking at the extent of the network. We've got quite an extensive copper network, so it will take us quite a while to, if we were to say we replace the whole copper. And you know, the issue around, you know, whether, you know, access to spectrum will help, you know, from where we're sitting, we do believe that it will help, especially in areas where we've got repetitive theft. Just to give you an indication, in some areas you put a copper replacement in the morning, the following day is stolen again. So those are some of the challenges that you have. And, you know, sometimes some areas we cannot go in, for instance, some of the areas in the Cape Flats, like Delft and those areas, where our technicians cannot go in because of you know, gangsters and all that, so where, you know, we tend to risk their lives. So an alternative solution will greatly assist in making sure that, you know, the members of the public do get access to better telecommunication services. And we do believe that, you know, considering that the cost to operate it might be lower, it might be slightly cheaper for, you know, from our perspective, as an alternative to copper, where we cannot continue to service the copper. And then I'll hand over to Sia to continue with the other questions.
Thank you, Lucas. Chair, the question around subsidies, I think we need to put it in its proper context. Telkom is not proposing that Telkom be subsidized or that the operators be subsidized. It has happened in the other areas such as free basic electricity and water, where there is an allowance for those who live on the margins of our society. But in the ICT space, it's even very different. If you go to Section 88 of the ECA, where we talk about the Universal Service Fund and what it can be used for, the ECA envisages a form of intervention on behalf of the poor, where you can craft some form of subsidy. And that subsidy is, because if you look at how the fund is resourced, is that it is resourced from the contributions that the operators make to that fund. So far and over the years, the fund has been applied to other areas of need in society. But we're saying maybe we should start making sure that the fund also reaches those who need to communicate, because it emanates from the revenues that are derived, which are made by the operators themselves. So I hope that answers the Honourable Member's question on subsidy. You can refer to Section 88.1 of the ECA. On the issue of the WOAN, the 8 years is not correct. We must just be honest. We have interrogated this matter and its technical, the various technical formulations of the WOAN. So depending on how you want to construct it, it is technically possible and it can be brought into operation sooner, particularly if it is being brought out of a commercial necessity, out of us needing to use it. Then the 8 years, you can leave it to us to be able to assist you on what is technically feasible and within what period. So as an intervention, for instance, for our purposes, the one, if it has access to the 700 and 800 megahertz spectrum, which we call it the sub-1 gig, this is the spectrum that allows us to roll out fewer base stations over a longer distance. And this is the spectrum that also allows us in-building penetration so that we can give you a better quality of service and customer experience. So if the WOAN has that, it means any new entrant will be able to provide, through the WOAN, will be able to provide that kind of service with ease. And through certain interventions, as you know, unlike other operators, Telkom does not have sub-1 gig. But the other operators have it. So the next, will it lower the cost of data? Yes. Why would it do that? How will it do that? The biggest barrier to entry for any operator is infrastructure cost. Spectrum doesn't operate by itself. Spectrum is related to the infrastructure. That's why you've heard people spending a lot of money on infrastructure. We always have to upgrade from 2G, 3G, 4G, now we're working towards 5G. So if you're going to have that spectrum and it is put in a collective pot where everybody has a say on how it is rolled out as infrastructure, then you're going to have economies of scale. Then you're also going to prevent Vodacom and MTN using that to entrench their position in the market. Unless if the policy or legislative position in the country is that you only need the two of them. But if you want customer choice at the retail level, then you must solve the inputs upstream. And the biggest bottleneck right now is that the majority of the infrastructure lies with Vodacom and MTN. So we've done economic studies on this point, and we've shared it with the department as part of our submission to the EC amendment, and we can share that with the committee so that as we continue the debate on the ON and as it comes to Parliament, you can look at some of those public documents that we have prepared. Lastly, I think it needs to be understood that this we don't see it as a monopolistic ON, as what ICASA says. This will be a credible infrastructure competitor to Vodacom and MTN and allow other players to offer the infrastructure requirements and needs. So if you slice it up and make it smaller, it will be just one other player in the space, and it's not as a late entrant, it is not likely to be able to dent the impact of the duopoly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I do understand. We discussed that open access thing previously, and you explained to us, but who is the other? MTN? RCLC or MTN? Okay, sure. You want to clarify that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just in terms of validity periods around airtime, specifically currently Telkom allows airtime to stay on the net for up to 3 years. We don't expire within 3 years. What we do allow is in terms of bundles, we've created innovative bundles that talks to validity periods from 1 day to up to a year. Those innovation has been driven primarily by providing value to customer and the pricing we've been able to undercut or underprice against our competitors. So the innovation around the validity period creates pricing value for the consumer as a whole. We've always led in terms of the assumption that we want to give data in abundance, and that these validity periods allow us to give data in abundance, but it also gives the consumer choice in terms of what validity periods for when he needs it or she needs it for a week, a day, or a month, or a year even. So the validity periods helps create a pricing differential instead of a bland homogenous pricing, which will take out competition in the market if we move to a validity period doesn't expire, because as I was referring to, a lot of the costs, these validity periods are driven by the input cost that goes into creating these bundles. And that's why we've created these bundles, and we've provided input at the service charter in terms of where we believe we are currently complying in terms of where the customer goes out of bundle. The default position is the customer doesn't go out of bundle. He has to make the choice to roam or to use data traffic on an out-of-bundle rate. It must be a conscious decision in terms of that. So what it does is it allows this constantly choice in the network. We don't automatically default to the out-of-bundle rate. Thank you.
CLC?
Yeah, just to address the specific question around will the ON lead to cheaper data rates, I echo what Telkom has said. I'll say it in a much shorter way. They've addressed this in detail. Yes, it will. As they said, the main reason is because of the reduction in infrastructure duplication costs. It also does stimulate service-based competition. I also agree that it's not an eight-year timetable that we're looking at. I do understand, however, the concern that it will take some time, and I think that's a valid concern, and I think from CELC's perspective, the concern is that we need to get cracking on this. We see more of a two-year type timetable, but we really do need to get the necessary regulatory and legislative processes in place to make that timetable happen. Basically, just to be clear, we see the WON as a way of future-proofing the industry. You know, government has to look at a 5, 10, 20-year time horizon here. So it won't be an immediate, as I said, it won't happen tomorrow, but neither will giving spectrum to the dominant operators reduce prices tomorrow. They haven't done it so far. What's the incentive for them to do it now? And then just to give a final perspective from CELC's view, I think, and without putting words in our respective colleagues' mouths, we understand that there is one of the operators' views that the WON should be given all the new spectrum. We don't support that. But I think we also differ from what Vodacom have said, where I understand they want to have a more equitable distribution of the spectrum. We're saying that the WON should be given most of the spectrum, and that if there's any spectrum left over, that can then be allocated or auctioned to the other operators. So that's CELC's position.
Thanks, Chairperson.
Yeah,
Just on the spread of schools, Chairperson, there's a question here, and you saw in our presentation that we gave you a spread of how we have connected the schools. The schools are basically also in rural areas. They are geo-coordinated. We have the maps. We want to assure you that there is no triangular picking from that, because the schools will receive from ICASA, coordinated by the Department of Basic Education and the DTPS. So the schools we have connected are actually a list we receive from ICASA, basically, as part of our universal service obligation.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. We certainly from MTN welcome the opportunity to engage the committee in a lot more detail with respect to quite a number of areas of this subject. One being our view around the spectrum, our view around the WOAN, but also to get into a lot of detail around infrastructure sharing. You know, sometimes the narrative that comes across is that there is very little infrastructure sharing that is happening in the industry, but there's quite a fair amount of that is happening already. So certainly we welcome that. And to the question of what is our infrastructure needs, I think that question will be better explained and better understood when we have that session, because you know, there are a lot of elements that go into it. It's not only the infrastructure requirements of today, but it's the infrastructure requirements of the future, but also it's the customer demand in terms of the voice services, data services, digital services, and so the list goes. So certainly, I think the proposal that let's have a face-to-face conversation over a longer period of time, I think would be very, very helpful. And maybe just to conclude, Chair, information around, for instance, schools connectivity and all of that, that information is readily available to be provided to the committee. I must just underscore the fact that we are guided by ICASA as well as the Department of Education in terms of where we invest. You would have noticed that I mentioned that from an MTN perspective, we've done 1,340 schools, 1,360 schools, we still have 140 to go. In particularly areas of disability, but we are dependent really on the allocation of those schools by the department. So, Chair, in conclusion, I would say that I think that session that we'll have, whenever that is, will elevate quite a number of these issues, put it in a lot more detail than the limited amount of time that we've had today. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Members, you want another bite, and then we're going to close.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Maybe in the lay granny's language, in that particular area that I've mentioned, in the border of Botswana and Northwest, say, what is to be done? Because if Vodacom is available around that, but the MTN refers to roaming in Botswana. Okay. What is it that you can share, MTN share with Vodacom to make sure that services are available to the community in that particular area? So I don't know whether it also need our next meeting or not, but if an attempt can be made to answer that question, I'll be happy. Thank you.
Let us say open access thing that we are talking about. We are going to, you want to come in there?
Chairperson, maybe I will touch base with the Honourable Member on that particular area that he's talking about, just to address the issue, because it could very well be a question of how strong our signal is in that particular area, and we can post the signal in order to give us access to the service.
Thank you very much. I like to thank you all the stakeholders, the department, deputy minister, thank you for sitting here until we finish. Sometimes I'm a bit relaxed. Today it can be hard here. And that's why I want to say say, don't ever argue with the members. Just give the answers. You did so very well in responding. I don't know why you didn't want to respond. I know that maybe the minister, deputy minister, was speaking before you. Therefore, you feel that you must respect protocol. But I gave you the opportunity because you wanted to say something before the responses. But nevertheless, it was a very good meeting. It was good proposals. I hope that you took everything down in the scorecard. We are not going to give you time frames now until you sorted your things out, because ICASA must come and present to us really the plan on how they're going to do business and do their oversight on these stakeholders to account how they're going to reduce the cost. You must have a plan. Therefore, we are very okay. We allow. I'm relaxed today, but I'm not always so relaxed, because we want to have a plan. We want to see by what time you're going to finish it, because we want to go out there. We are not going to sit here. We must go out, and we must go and give answers to the promises that the president made in the sauna. So we mean business, and like I was saying, this thing is one of the things that we put on our tick list to finish in our term. Therefore, you must just prepare yourself, set up your own time frames, and come and present it to Parliament. What did you put in place to oversee those stakeholders to commit themselves on how they are going to do to bring us there? You know? So thank you very much for being here. We are going to have a nice big meeting, and we call on the Deputy President, Deputy Minister. We are going to send you a letter to assist us, because our budget is not so big. If you can help us to bring the stakeholders, I don't need to take credit for that. If it's like a going out, a committee, like a little public hearing thing, of sort of a workshop, but we will see, we will apply, but if there is a need, we must see how we can come together to invite all the stakeholders and also some of the customers. We will identify the special bracket of income and how it suits that people can come and present. This kind of thinking is in my head. But thank you very much, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.